Ladies and gentlemen, trees and multiforms, welcome to the Red Phone Zone where we don't know what we're talking about. I am your host, Aaron.
I am Shay.
And I am Ethan.
Christ. All right. Welcome to a special, special, special issue of the Red Phone Zone. We've made it 10 issues. That's two whole entire hands.
I know.
Well, yeah.
We're going to have to start using our toes.
I don't know. Well, good thing I'm wearing flip flops. So, yeah. Yeah, this is a weekly podcast where we talk, well, vidcast, whatever. It's a show where we talk about all kinds of things that I like to call gaggles of geeky goodness. We have several topics that we go over. We have things like Casting Couch, where we take a pop culture icon and we cast it into a big-budget Hollywood motion picture, a top-six list. It's kind of like a high-fidelity list where we put things into order of what we like best, just things of that nature. But before we start all that out, we always do a little section that we like to call Geekly Happenings, where we just talk about things that have happened that we feel are relevant to the world of geeks. And the thing that the Red Phone Zone would like to bring up first is a word from Mr. Christopher Nolan. You may know him better as the director of the latest Batman movies in the Batman Warner Brothers franchise. He is refusing to make Batman 3 in 3D.
Yay!
Apparently, we're not fans of 3D on the show. I think 3D is kind of cool. I don't want to do it at home. I'm not, you know.
I think it is cool, but I don't think it should become the norm.
No. I mean,
it should be a spectacle thing.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, when they made The Dark Knight, the IMAX was a big deal. The IMAX in the opening scene, and the IMAX in the truck scene, and a couple of
the scene in Hong Kong.
Yeah, all that stuff was actually filmed in IMAX with an IMAX. It was amazing. Yeah, but you know, I think it's kind of cool. He's actually taking a stance there, and you know, well done.
I think he doesn't
Mr.
want
Nolan.
It to be kitschy, or he thinks he wants to be serious because the Dark Knight stuff he's been doing is so serious that
true that
having the 3D element makes it seem, I don't know, childish to a certain extent.
I agree. I don't know about childish.
Childish may be a strong term, but I think that that's I'm angling in the right.
Yeah, sure, why not?
Direction.
Yeah, I mean, he's just probably doing it in such a way to where he just doesn't want to be told what to do. And at, you know, and after turning in, the number three grossing movie of all time, I think Christopher Nolan right now in Warner Brothers can write his own ticket.
Yeah, I think he can pretty much do what he wants.
Yeah, and that's pretty cool. I mean,
yeah,
I like
good for
that.
Him.
Yeah, well done. God, I hope he doesn't get pressured into it. Another little part, I don't really know if it's geekly happening-wise, but it kind of leads me into this, is Warner Brothers Pictures, right? Is that the name?
Warner Brothers,
yeah. Warner Brothers Pictures signed a contract with IMAX where it's going to be part of something like a 20-picture deal where they're going to make 20 movies that are going to be filmed exclusively in IMAX. Mm-hmm. So, which is kind of cool. I mean, once again, IMAX, I don't want it to be the norm because, you know, IMAX should be used for something, you know, special. It needs to become the event. And
that includes Superman. Is that what you're telling me?
Well,
they mentioned Batman 3 and Superman.
And the Superman reboot, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah,
the
Superman reboot, yeah.
The whole bunch of movies. There's things like the Harry Potter movies and junk like that. But yeah, that should be interesting. I just hope they don't overdo it. But I'm liking IMAX. I don't like paying $18 a ticket. There's very few movies that I'd pay $18 to see. And
like, I will go see Iron Man 2 on IMAX.
Me too.
Ooh.
So what else is happening geekly happenings-wise, guys?
Ghost Rider 2.
Is
still in development with Sony, and Sony basically it was revealed that if Sony does not start production on Ghost Rider 2 by November 14th of this year, the rights of it will revert back to Marvel Studios. Marvel.
It'd be kind of neat if we get another like Harvey Korman made piece of crap Marvel movie like the Fantastic Four.
And the big deal, obviously, is Nicolas Cage can't. It probably won't be able to do it because he's going to be doing National Treasure 3.
Oh, my Lord.
And
this time it's personal.
Yeah, apparently the second one was awful.
I didn't see it.
The first one was fun.
The first one was fun. Yeah,
it was terrible. Yeah. It was like wannabe Da Vinci Code.
The problem I had with the first one was that there were several points of just complete illogical sequences where no sense was made.
David Goyer has turned in a script for it. The guy who wrote Batman Begins and Dark Knight and stuff like that.
Did he write the first one?
I
would hope not.
I, he might have had something to do with it, but from what I understand, his script was kind of butchered to make it a PG-13 movie.
Yeah.
And from what I've been reading about Ghost Rider 2 is they want to make it an R-rated movie.
It probably should be.
More along the lines of, you know, like Blade.
I don't... Yeah, things. Really. I mean, I mean it's definitely Marvel Knights concept, and I thought they did a pretty good... I mean, well, I don't know about a really good job, but yes. I thought... I enjoyed the first
see, that's
one.
That's what very I heard. It seemed like I heard somewhere they were fighting for a... They were fighting an NC-17.
It was pretty gruesome.
Did you see it?
Yes,
I thought you didn't.
Huh. No, I saw it in theaters.
Oh, okay. I want to see it, but I didn't...
It's really cheesy.
I like cheese. One of my favorite food groups.
It's okay. Did you ever read the Punisher Max comics?
Yeah.
They're exactly like that. So,
I like those. Those were silly.
And that's the thing is, I liked the Knights series better. I think it had a bit more wit to it.
But, yeah.
You know, that's just me. I really like the Thomas Jane one myself. So, but anyway.
Travolta, whatever.
Yes. Anyway, the Ghost Rider, basically, the studio says they're prepared to move forward without Nicolas Cage.
But he probably wants too much money.
Well, no, it's busy. It's all a scheduling thing.
That could also just be, you know, publicity.
That's true.
Posturing.
That's true.
It really could be.
So. I, as I understand this, something like this happened before with Nicolas Cage, where he was involved with the creation of a new Superman, a Superman reboot, and then...
Thank God that didn't happen.
Everybody hated the idea. I thought he'd have done a fine job.
I mean, I like Nicolas Cage.
I could take him really. He was awesome Leaving Las Vegas. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah.
Did he win an Oscar?
Yeah, he won an Oscar for it. He was awesome.
I liked him in Face Off.
I did too.
That was a fun movie.
The Rock. The Rock.
Rock was good.
Is pretty awesome.
I love The Rock. It had Sir Sean Connery in it.
Sir Sean Connery.
But yeah, the whole thing with Nicolas Cage being attached to the Superman thing, he left because it that was when Tim Burton was still attached to direct it, and he didn't want to make it without Tim Burton. It wasn't him being forced out because of negative public.
Tim Burton Superman movie just... Yeah.
Well, we could see what he already done to a Batman movie, but we're not going there.
I'm willing to watch a sort of you know, Jack... what was the name of Jack Halloween or whatever?
What are you talking about?
Night Before Christmas. Superman. I think that'd be kind of neat.
Night Before Christmas.
I can't remember his name.
Jack Skellington?
Jack Skellington.
Oh,
yeah.
God. I didn't know what we were talking about. Right.
I didn't like that movie.
It was okay. A lot of people like it way too much, in my opinion. I like it, but, you know.
People are rabid about it. But
they really are.
What else we got? Clash of the Titans 2.
Why?
Clash of the Titans 2 has been announced.
Why?
Money.
Because apparently it made enough money to make a sequel.
You saw it, right?
Yes.
What'd you say?
Meh.
That was my... I read
an article about how it was recut and scenes were refilmed.
What, for the 3D thing?
Well, no, not for that. For the film in general.
Okay.
That there's a whole story arc. There's more of the gods that was cut out. Apollo had a bigger part. Hera had a bigger part. There wasn't this forced romance thing between Perseus and...
One of the worst movie I've ever seen. One of the best movie I've ever seen.
The bit I read basically made more sense. Made Zeus more of a douchebag.
Yeah.
Well, he usually is.
Yeah, exactly. If I had a biggest problem with it...
In the movie, you know, Zeus shows up and gives him the coin. In the original, that's Apollo doing it.
Apollo
and Hera basically are like, well, Zeus is being a douche.
And Zeus
is always
a douche.
We need to help out humanity, so... You know, Zeus doesn't destroy them with the Kraken.
Yep.
It's sad because it's one of those things where you read that and go, man, this could have been a really good movie.
We already had a good Clash of the Titans movie.
Yeah, well, the day my brother, my sister, me, and my brother's wife, Eunice, went and saw the movie. We came home, sat down, and watched the original again.
I like the original.
We found out Eunice had never seen it, and we're like, oh, sit your ass down.
Yeah, I like it. It was fun.
Yeah, I mean, the special effects were phenomenal for its time.
No. It was made in like 1981.
Right, 81.
Harry,
do you know what came out before 1981?
What?
2001, okay. Star Wars.
I will disagree with you entirely as far as the special effects.
I love Ray Harryhausen.
The Medusa scene.
I love the Medusa scene.
Brilliant. Yeah.
But for 1981, it isn't that great. It was fine.
I think for 2010, it's great. It was better than the one in the new Clash of the Titans.
Whatever.
I mean,
what else do we got?
Oh, anyway.
we're not doing confessions.
We're not talking about Clash of the Titans. Oh, gosh. Peter Jackson's been knighted in New Zealand, so he's now serving Peter Jackson in New Zealand.
Neat. Well, if I go to New Zealand and I run to Peter Jackson, I'll be sure to do that.
All right.
What, bow?
Hi, Sir Peter. Just call him Sir Jackson.
For Terry Gilliam fans, Terry Gilliam seems to finally have gotten his dream project off the ground.
Again.
With, his Don Quixote movie, which he tried to get off the ground 10 years ago, the wrath of God sort of made it not happen.
Yeah, if you guys haven't seen it, check out the Lost in La Mancha. Was the movie. It was a documentary made
Lost
about
in
that.
La Mancha, I
yeah,
think.
Lost in La Mancha. Mm-hmm. It was It is a story of that production falling apart.
Right.
Good Lord, did it ever!
And
they managed to make
Robert,
a movie out of how badly things went.
Yeah, and Robert Duvall is reportedly signed to play Don Quixote.
I could see him doing that.
So
I could see him doing that.
Sounds pretty cool to me.
Yeah.
Terry Gilliam was hit and miss.
I love Brazil.
So, yeah, Brazil, but he's done some pretty good
ones. Oh, yeah. He's done some good ones.
Brothers Grimm was terrible.
Yeah.
I didn't see The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus.
I still want to see that.
I kind of liked Brothers Grimm, actually.
Yeah, it was okay.
Watching that movie, it just really was obvious that somebody edited the hell out of
yeah.
it.
Yeah. You could tell, I'm surprised that, Terry Gilliam has paid the price in the past for...
Makes sense with Terry Gilliam. And on the gaming front, which means Aaron shuts his brain off now. Games Workshop announced that they are releasing this summer Warhammer 8th Edition, which is the tabletop
do you play that?
Battles game. I have played it several times, yes.
What are the miniatures made out of?
Most of them are plastic, but some of them are pewter.
Do you paint them?
Yes.
You have to?
No. Well, it depends if you
want. If you want to win, you will. Or...
No, they don't come painted. You have to paint them yourself.
No matter what? What color are the plastic ones when you just buy them?
Gray.
Oh, okay. Just curious.
I have bunches of them.
I've never seen. I can't say I've ever seen a Warhammer piece that wasn't painted. I mean, I've seen all kinds of the pewter ones.
Because a lot of the hardcore fans of Warhammer go play tournaments, and in a lot of tournaments, you can only use painted figures.
Well, that's silly.
Yeah, I don't care. So I don't. I have a Chaos Army and a Vampire Counts Army. So
and they're painted.
Well, the Vampire Counts one is not, because I have no time.
That was me making the sound
of
it going over my head. I don't know what this is.
The character models and the more expensive ones are metal, the bigger ones.
Yeah.
Like that, but.
I heard a review of miniatures one time on Gamers Haven podcast.
I know.
It's an interesting show.
That's such a crappy show.
I like this show.
I kind of enjoy it, actually.
Pretty good.
But the big deal, really, is that they, just a few years back, put out 7th edition, and now they're just catching up with a few of their army books into 7th edition, and now they're putting out a new edition of it, so they're going to start all over again.
Hmm.
Whatever.
They just want to make more money, right?
We're going to see how they break the system again. So.
Yeah, one of the problems with the gaming world
is... I haven't played it in almost a year now. I've just been too busy. But
when you can buy one book and play for 10 years, they got to find ways of convincing you to buy more products so that they can stay in business.
Exactly. But
yeah.
That's
I've been
the news on the gaming front, really.
I've been fighting the urge to play HeroClix, honestly, because those little guys are cool.
Yeah, I've got some.
I want to buy some of the Blackest Night ones. I want a Blackest Night Necron. You told me you had that. You told me you had the Galactus, and I looked that thing up online. It's expensive. Was it when it came out?
There's two of them.
It was like that big. It's huge.
They're both the same size.
They're gigantic.
There was one that was a convention exclusive, and then they did a repaint like 4 or 5 years later and released it for general sale. And that's the one I've got.
Well, that was expensive. I mean, the ones I found, they were like over $100.
And the one I bought was about $60.
It's a lot of money for an action figure.
But it's Galactus.
I digress.
And it's huge.
I digress. So
I still want to see this.
At any rate... like I said, this is our special 10th issue. And so what we're going to be doing is we're doing a not quite double-sized issue because we're limited to 3 hours on the program that we're using. And tonight we're going to be doing the next thing we're going to be doing after we're done talking about our geekly happenings is we're doing a casting couch of the Red Phone Zone. Each of us is going to bring up, we've all picked an actor that we would like to see ourselves play ourselves in a live-action rendition of the Red Phone Zone. Probably be a boring movie, but hey, it's all about us. So I'm wearing selfish stuff.
It would be, as we call, like we were talking earlier, a film,
not
a movie.
I did neglect to bring the Doom mask, so I have the dunce cap.
But
he's got the dunce cap
instead.
For me,
I got my Harry Potter glasses.
However, next time we should have our sonic scooter.
I cannot wait. I just take a look at every screwdriver and say this could use more Sonic.
Exactly.
After that, we are going to be doing a... Oh, my Lord. Oh, we are going to be doing a new segment that I don't even really feel like talking about at this time because we're going to be talking about plenty. We are starting a new segment where we're going to be doing it's a sort of Red Phone Zone Hall of Fame, if you will. After that, we're going to be doing a characterization of Aaron. I think I'm going to go use the loo at that part. And then we're going to have a 10-minute intermission, where we're going to switch over. We're going to switch over, probably take restroom breaks, things of that nature.
Yep.
After that, we're going to do a...
Because we're old men with bladders this big.
Yeah, about that big.
At least I am.
Well, I'm older than you. And he's older than me.
You're older than me by like 2 months.
Yeah, and he's older than me by like 17 days.
I'm the old one.
So, hey. After that, we're going to do a top six.
Get off my lawn, right?
Get off my lawn, you crazy kids.
You don't have a lawn. We're going to do a top six after that of our favorite films. After that, we're going to be leaving, I wish. We're going to be doing a Confessions of a Movie Snob for Red Phone Zone, Issue Zero. So that's what we got going on right now. Oh, my Lord. You smoking weed? Ooh.
No.
It just tasted like it when it hit me. So do you got anything else geekly happenings-wise?
Shay is not smoking weed. No. That's
imagine that. Shay happening. Not smoking weed.
Hey.
I think that was
other
it.
Other than that, really,
we don't want to...
Official announcement of Batman Under the Red Hood's coming out July 27th on DVD.
Yep. I'm looking forward to that. I'll buy that.
I still need to watch the Crisis on Two Earths one myself.
I haven't seen it yet either.
Yeah, I've got it at home.
If it's half
as good as First Flight, First Flight was awesome.
Man, nothing's came close to touching First Flight, really. I mean, as far as the DC animated.
I really liked New Frontier, though. New Frontier
I did,
was
too.
Really good.
Yeah, it's funny. I was watching that with my mom on Instant Stream. And I didn't know, I hadn't seen it until like really recently, and I didn't know what I was watching. And it was the scene when it was Hal Jordan, and he landed in the enemy lines, and he's struggling with that guy with the gun, and then he brings it up and he just blows the guy's head off. My mom's all like, "Oh my god!" And because it was funny because it's a cartoon.
Yes.
And you're like,
in First Flight, there's that one scene that made me go like that when the aliens come up behind those two guards and snap their necks.
Yeah.
It's like, holy crap!
But I was like sitting alone in a hotel room when I watched that one. It wasn't with my mom, so that was a little different.
Yeah.
That was a little
different.
Did you
convince your mom to watch a cartoon?
No, she was just in the room when I was messing around with it.
It's coincidental.
Well, we should move on.
Yeah, we are going to be back after a brief little segue where we're going to do a casting couch of the Red Phone Zone. Stay tuned.
We'll be back.
Yeah, we are back with the casting couch. Like we keep saying, this is our 10th double-size issue. This is going to be a very self-serving issue. So what we decided to do is we decided to do a casting couch of the Red Phone Zone. What do you suppose the Red Phone Zone movie would even be?
Oh, 20 minutes maybe?
Yeah.
Intro credits, outro credits.
I think we could actually make a decent amount of screen time just talking about, well, Rachel would come into it because of the romance angle, in the basement, and moving from
the romance angle in the basement.
I'd be the cheesy. I'd be the cheesy comic relief.
I don't even know what the hell I'd be.
I guess I'd be the villain.
Really, you just have to be the leading man.
Because we don't really have a
dear
villain.
Lord.
It's
man.
Your show. You would have. To
I'd win a Razzie at least. I mean, I'd definitely win a Razzie for this. But yeah, what we decided to
You'd
do.
You're winning something though.
Hey, I'm the best at being the worst. What we're doing is we just decided to go ahead and we decided to cast ourselves because we didn't want to hurt each other's feelings by saying I want I don't know. Somebody, Carrot Top, to play Ethan, or, something weird like that.
You really, really hate Carrot Top, don't you?
I just think he's silly. I really don't hate him that much.
He's just your ubiquitous
Sophia
example.
Coppola should play Ethan, or something weird like that.
Something strange.
I will stab you.
Danny DeVito?
Danny DeVito. No, so, what we're doing is we're just going to cast ourselves. And, I guess I need to jump into this and do this, since I imagine we're on something of a time schedule.
Tell you you're wrong, and
tell
you who should
I'm wrong.
Play you.
So... When I was looking at casting myself, I kind of had to figure out, what it is about me that needs to be captured in a character. I mean, obviously, I'm very handsome, and I'm very well fit. No, I'm full of shit.
Debonair.
I'm none of those things. I'm very opinionated. I'm very abrasive. I'm very obnoxious, and I really come across really strong. But at the same time, if you know me and you get to know me a little bit better, I can be kind of charming, and I really can.
He is a nice guy.
I'm a nice guy, and you know everything. And so I was trying to find somebody that you know that really just captured the spirit of that. And, you know, they can be really obnoxious, and you want to kill them, but at the same time, they can be really charming. I couldn't really find age-appropriate.
Christopher Lee.
So I went with Christopher Lee. No, of course I didn't. I went with Jason Lee.
Jason Lee?
Jason Lee.
That's actually a pretty good cast.
I mean, he's not overly good-looking, and neither am I, and he's not fugly, and neither am I. He is older than me. I mean, he's probably 40, if not late 30s, yeah. And I'm 30 on the nose. Mm-hmm. But I think that we have similar speech mannerisms. At least he could, and he's an actor, and he could pick up my speech mannerisms if not. He's just kind of had, like you look at his character from, like, you know, Mallrats probably more than any, or even Chasing Amy, because he was an idiot in Chasing
Amy.
I
think more Chasing Amy.
Yeah, because he just really comes across abrasive and whatever, but he's really charming, and he means mm-hmm. well. But, you know, like I said, he's a little old, but I just can't think of anybody in my age bracket that would really be able to play me well. So I went with Jason Lee, and I like the guy, too.
Yeah, I think Jason Lee's a good choice.
Yeah,
and we're not ignoring the fact that actors can do amazing things with them, in their craft, but I think Jason Lee is a really good choice. I would have actually gone for something like George Clooney, even though he's
George Clooney, he's way too old, and he's way too good-looking, and he's way too charismatic.
I think he kind of actually looks kind of like you.
You're full of shit. That's really nice of you to say, but no, I mean, I that's awesome that you say that, but I don't agree with you at all. And I'm Batman. Yeah.
I'm Batman.
Bat credit card. Never leave home without it. Yeah.
Oh.
Shark repellent bat spray.
Shark repellent bat spray. That's
holy rusted metal Batman. Batman.
That'd be sweet.
That'd just be funny.
That was very nice of you to say, Shay, but you know, my biggest problem with it is the age thing, but he's also a really good-looking guy, and I'm not saying that I'm, like, fugly or anything, but I'm just not a George Clooney looker.
I'm just going by, I think he kind of looks like
and
it.
And I didn't think about it too much, honestly.
Yeah.
So, the only guy that sort of pops into my head, and he's entirely wrong, would be Simon Pegg. But
for me?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be kind of funny.
I'm neither 45, nor British, nor blonde. But yeah, I could see that.
But I think
we've established at this point that I really ignore stuff like that when I go to casting.
Yeah, I think you
capture your sense of humor, actually.
My sense of humor? Yeah. I don't know. Simon Pegg's way funnier than me. I wanted to play the Ant-Man.
I think Jason Lee is a good choice.
Ant-Man, Simon Pegg, play Ant-Man.
Yeah. Play Ant-Man.
And Aaron.
And me.
And Aaron.
When they make the Red Funzo movie. No, I love Jason Lee. I mean,
I think Jason Lee's a good choice for you.
I think he would also... I also want him to play Deadpool. Fuck Ryan Reynolds. I want Jason Lee to play Deadpool. I've always liked the idea of him playing Deadpool.
That's an interesting thought.
He's got that same motor mouth.
He's got that same motor mouth and da-da-da-da. I don't know. I like it. Shay, who'd you cast as you?
I had it the other day, and I was like, I had the perfect thing, and I was like, I'll never forget it, I didn't write it down. And so I'm going to
And you've met yourself before, right?
No.
You should have known that.
We got the dunce cap now.
Ku Klux, Shay. K.K. Shea.
Anyway, I went with a character or a person who on an internet, I uploaded a picture of myself to the internet and it told me who I looked like that was famous, and it's Ryan Reynolds. And after his performance in Waiting, I decided I'm okay with that.
I can see Ryan Reynolds playing me. I'm sorry, but no.
Playing me?
No, me.
Playing you?
Yeah.
Well, I mean.
I like Jason Lee better. Yeah. He's actually more age appropriate than Jason Lee.
No, but
you don't look anything like Ryan Reynolds.
According to the computer, I do.
Computers are stupid. Do you think he looks anything like Ryan Reynolds?
Not really.
I mean, he doesn't have the coloring, the facial structure, anything. But what do you think?
Yeah.
Right, I'm not saying...
Some of the other ones I thought of were Sean William Scott.
That I could see.
I was thinking that he was a little bit, maybe a little bit too what I call frat boyish.
It's acting.
I know it's acting, but he just has that look, and his and everything I've ever seen him in, he's had that sort of demeanor. Maybe I haven't seen the right things, but
he was in Bulletproof Monk, right?
Yeah, yes. I really liked him in
that. At least I like that. I don't know.
Yeah. And then what was the other person I thought of was, and this one was a little bit of an odd choice, and I don't think it really would fit at all, but it was Johnny Depp, because of this finger movement thing that he can do, and I can do it.
Do you know who Johnny Depp is?
Yeah, he plays this pirate guy in this pirate movie.
We learned him.
Pirates of the Pirates of Penzance?
Yell at me enough times, I'll remember.
Because of the finger thing?
Yeah, that's just his physical acting.
By that logic, Keith Richards could play you.
Yeah. Because Keith Richards is based off of Keith Richards doing it. Because that isn't a Johnny Depp thing.
No, I thought he actually studied with Hunter S. Thompson to do that. He did it for the Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas originally.
No, the finger thing he got from Keith Richards.
Back when he was that guy from the Pirates movie, I read about Hunter S. Thompson and this whole thing.
The only notion I have as far as casting for you, I guess we're going sort of into casting each other at this point.
I guess.
Well, just a little
bit. Was Sam Rockwell.
Sam Rockwell.
That'd be cool.
Who's he? What is he from?
Well, he's gonna be in Iron Man 2.
Yeah.
See, okay. Shit. You haven't really seen any movies.
Yeah.
I don't.
Have you seen the Green Mile?
Yes.
He was the. Actually, you know what? Have you seen Galaxy Quest?
Yes, I've seen Galaxy Quest.
Do you remember? Guy? The guy that the actor played. He played an extra like a million years ago.
Oh,
or so.
That guy!
Yeah, Sam Rockwell. I love Sam Rockwell.
Wow,
he's a fantastic actor.
Yeah, now my ego's hurt. And
what? I would love it.
He comes off as this sort of like, guy in all the movies. Like he's the guy that you're like, okay, yeah, he's gonna die here in a second because he's not cool enough. And I'm like, no.
He was awesome in Galaxy Quest.
Mm-hmm.
He was amazing in the Confessions of a Dangerous Mind,
which I still haven't seen.
God, he was amazing in that. That was
directed by Clooney, wasn't it?
Yeah, very good movie. What's that?
Was he in Charlie's Angels?
I don't think he was in Charlie's Angels. Was he?
Sam Rockwell.
Who was he in Charlie's Angels? That was Crispin Glover.
Yeah.
Looks like him. They look alike.
I don't think they look anything alike. Okay, I'll listen to Rachel on this. Maybe we'll look it up on a break.
Maybe.
But, yeah, he was in that. He was in Choke. He's going to be in Iron Man 2. I really like the guy.
I really like him. That just sort of came to me. Take no offense from it.
I
shouldn't.
You shouldn't. He's cool. And you can take offense from mine because I always said Jason Mewes for you.
I can feel that one.
And I say it as an older Jason Mewes. Not like the 22-year-old. No, like the older off of drugs.
Not the Mallrats Jason.
Not the Mallrats Jason Mewes. Kind of like the Jason Mewes that's like on interviews and stuff.
More suave Jason Mewes.
He's very suave. He's actually very intelligent and...
Yeah, that was actually a real big surprise when I actually watched some physical, of his behind-the-scenes stuff.
The physical thing, he doesn't look a whole hell of a lot like you, but I mean, he looks a lot more like you than, like, Ryan Reynolds. But, you know.
I can see that.
So, I mean, that's my choice, but that's just that. So, what do you say, Ethan? Who would play Ethan in the movie?
Who would play me? And I sort of thought a little bit about this. I didn't really want to go too deep into it, you know, to investigate my psyche and determine that, you know, I'm actually a narcissistic prick or something. But,
you are, aren't you?
And,
we were all here for a reason.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I guess I am a narcissistic prick then. George Clooney. No, I thought about it a bit, and I sort of have this self-image of myself, and the person I sort of was able to plug into that came down to two people, and I thought one was a bit too vulgar and raunchy for it, so the other one I went with is Seth Rogen.
Your other... Oh, my God! Rachel cast you last night, and she said Jonah Hill. And I said, perfect, except for he isn't raunchy. Or you're not raunchy. He is.
My other one actually isn't Jonah Hill.
It should be.
Kevin Smith. I have no idea who Jonah Hill is.
Jonah Hill, he's like one of fucking Seth Rogen's people. He was in...
Okay.
Oh, Seth Rogen.
Gotcha. He's going to be the Green... Actually, I can see Seth Rogen Hornet. Playing you. Yeah, he's going to be the Green Hornet. So yeah. We have all these green people that are going to play us. Green Lantern, Green Hornet, whatever. But yeah, no, I can see Seth Rogen playing you, but like you said, he's usually raunchy, and you're not.
Well, I think Seth Rogen is not as much, in my opinion. But
as what?
He's not as raunchy.
As you?
Yeah. Well, no. Seth Rogen in and of himself isn't as raunchy.
No, his characters he plays.
Yeah, I mean, and I think more, he's a bit more into weed than I am. But,
considering he is.
But, you know, it's called acting.
Acting.
But if you wanted to play a very boring part, you could play Nathan.
Did you see, you didn't see Superbad, did you?
No.
Have you seen the cover?
No.
Have you seen,
Oh, yes, I know who you're talking
the
about.
The kid with the fro?
Yes.
See, that's who she said, but I kind of like, I kind of like Seth Rogen better, because he's lost a lot of weight recently,
yeah.
And so have you. He has that geek intelligence that you have, so yeah, I could live with that. I could totally live with that. So who would direct our movie? Huey Bull.
Wow.
I don't know. It just depends on what kind of movie it would be. I mean, what would it be, a comedy?
A stunning action film.
No, I think it would be a drama about people achieving the dreams of...
It'd be some kind of weird-ass movie like Slacker or something like that. You know?
I mean, I really think it'd be like a Kevin Smith movie.
Yeah, it would
probably
be.
Would
Kevin
be.
Smith would be
you
a good
so,
good choice for directing.
Because that's sort of where our humor lies, and I don't know. So.
Actually, you know what? It kind of sounds like we accidentally made a Kevin Smith movie.
Because
we said Jason Mewes, Jason Lee, and frickin' Seth Rogen.
Uh-huh.
All right, let's send
Kevin
it
Smith
in.
Directing.
Yes, ma'am.
We're on.
Ooh. Aaron's like,
Sarah Silverman.
Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Sarah Silverman. I like Sarah Silverman.
Sarah Silverman would be good.
Sarah Silverman.
I mean, Sarah Michelle Gellar's
a
blonde.
That's a good choice.
Especially for pulling it out of my... Sarah Silverman's not blonde.
I meant Sarah Michelle
Gellar.
Yeah. Blonde.
Oh, I thought you said Sarah Silverman was blonde.
James
no,
James
yeah. That's not bad for just pulling it out of my ass. Yeah, I say Rachel, Sarah Silverman. But you got to bear in mind...
She's
I've been,
that crassness that, she, to, that would be needed to actually play you.
And I can totally see Sarah Silverman pulling off like those, like, you know, girder... shattering burps that you do. I could totally see her doing that. So, yeah. No, okay. That'll work.
I swear,
that'll work.
She's pulled an 8.
Oh,
like, just like out of her pocket.
We are going to try to get Rachel on the show at some point. I think.
We actually might have to get her on next week because Shay isn't going to be on because he's going to be working. He's got a job now. And Jeff will more likely not be in here. He's been having a lot of work issues. So, it just seemed like it might be just me and Ethan looking
no,
at each other.
No, that is the question. Who would we cast as Jeff?
Who would we cast as Jeff?
Oh.
See, this is...
You actually did think of somebody, because I was having the hardest time
trying
to find somebody.
I thought of somebody, but I didn't particularly like it, because he's way too old.
Mm-hmm.
What?
The guy who played the Friar Tuck in Robin Hood, from when he's younger, but...
Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves?
Prince of Thieves, yeah.
Hysterical comedian.
I know.
What's that guy's name?
I don't remember.
He was on Office Space. Yeah, Josh Mostel.
Yes.
Josh Mostel. He's way too fat for Jeff, but he's awesome.
Well, yeah, but he has that sort of wide chinny. His head.
I don't remember the guy's name, but in he played the convenience store clerk at the beginning of From Dusk Till Dawn.
Ooh. I don't know his name. I've never seen him in anything but that.
Gosh. See, now I can't remember.
I've seen From Dusk Till Dawn.
You have seen it, huh?
Yeah, I liked it.
I liked it, too. Did
you see Deadwood?
The show?
The show.
Oh, that creepy old guy?
No, he's not old.
God, no.
Okay.
Yeah,
no,
Michael Parks.
He's the one that falls in love with, I think it's Trixie. I can't remember.
Yeah, I said
anyway, you guys can look it up, I suppose.
I see him, and I just haven't seen enough of him to really say. And mine, what I wasn't happy for, you know, if I, you know, with the whole time machine that we apparently need for the show, I would get a, you know, probably 15 or 20 year younger Timothy Spall. He's the guy that played Wormtail in Harry Potter.
Oh,
he kind of has like, Jeff has like very distinctive eyes and very distinctive mouth, and Wormtail has that. Timothy Spall has that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean it insultingly. I mean, it's just Jeff just has like this weird eye darty thingy. But he's, you know, he's too old. He's traditionally way more overweight than him, and he's, I don't know. I like the idea. I like the idea, so yeah.
Jeff has a face you don't see a lot in Hollywood.
No.
All right, I think we're ready to move on, though.
So what are we moving on to? Next we're moving into the induction ceremony.
Into the new segment.
Into our new segment.
Yes.
Please stay tuned, we'll be right back. Mic off. And we are back with a segment that we are going to be calling the Facilitators of the Indomitable Order of the Zone of Ruthos. And you guys are, if anybody's even watching, you're probably just saying, what the fuck? Okay.
I think they just said Gesundheit.
Gesundheit. Okay, basically, what we're doing here is, you've heard, if you've watched any other show by this, you kind of heard like a little in-joke that has been going on with Ethan and I for like 10 years, mm-hmm. where we refer to literally. Christopher Lee. Literally. You know, I'm going to get into that. About Christopher Lee, and we call him Christopher fucking Lee. That's not just us being crude. We are being crude. Don't get me wrong.
We like being crude.
It's not
we like
only being crude.
It's
crudity.
Not only what it... Okay. What happened with this is in July 10th of the year 2000, on the website ain'titcoolnews.com, posted a announcement that mm-hmm. Lucasfilm and StarWars.com had announced that Christopher Lee will be playing the Sith Lord in Star Wars Episode II. This is before we knew his name was Count Dooku or Darth Tyrannus or any of that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was written by Harry Knowles. And if you know Harry Knowles, Harry Knowles is a descriptive enough writer. I mean, as far as how good or bad of a writer he is, I mean, that's objective. But he can write. He is a pretty good descriptor. But in the title of it, it said Christopher fucking Lee is to play the new Sith Lord in Star Wars Episode, you know, blah 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 blah, and that just took me aback. You know, because he could have said, you know, he could have said the.
Incomparable, the indomitable.
The indomitable Christopher Lee.
Awesome.
The veteran uncanny. Horror actor. The one-time Three Musketeer. You know, the number one credited actor in the world, Christopher Lee. All these great things about Christopher Lee, and he just summed it up in fucking. By just saying, Christopher fucking Lee. So Ethan and I really got a kick out of that,
yep.
And I think it was probably right around the same time as on Ethan's old website, we started up something we called the fucking list,
yep.
Where it was basically a list of people that we liked. You know, I specifically remember there being, you know, Christopher fucking Lee, Bruce fucking Campbell, John fucking Malkovich, Jason fucking Isaacs, etc.
Are these people allowed to use that? Are you?
No.
Can we refer to that at this point? I think you need to get into that point.
We're getting to
the
that point.
Is gone.
The website, okay. Yeah, Hella Memory made it onto the website, yes. If I remember right. So
there's a little icon for it, but I never did anything.
Yeah. So at any rate, what we decided to do is we decided to unveil this on the Red Phone Zone.
Make it official.
Make it official. And the way that I am viewing this is, I don't know how well you people know military history and whatnot. What, is that actually making noise?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. But in the United States Army, nobody is allowed to hold a position higher than George Washington. He has been given the posthumous honor of being the general of the armies. Nobody living or dead will ever hold a rank in the military higher than George Washington. And I want to look at the Order of the Ruthos the same way with Christopher Lee, since he is the originator of this.
And does Ruthos mean anything?
Yes, Ruthos is actually the it is the genesis of the core word of
that became
red. It's a post-Germanic word. It's actually where the word red came from. It was a word that they used for blood. And I just didn't. So basically, nice. Basically, what we're saying is a bunch of bullshit of the Red Phone Zone, pretty much.
Hoity-toity Red Phone Zone.
Hoity-toity Red Phone Zone.
This is the Red Phone Zone Hall of Fame.
So I have moving.
Shame, depending on how you want to look at.
Moving forward,
what is a hoity-toity anyway?
We don't need to talk about hoity-toity. But what we're going to do is Christopher Lee has already been inducted because he is the originator of this.
Yes.
So he is, as far as the Red Phone Zone is concerned, Christopher Lee is now a facilitator of the Indomitable Order of the Zone of Ruthos, and the honor of that allows him to put a fucking in between his names.
Yeah.
So that's he right. is Christopher fucking Lee
Sir.
From Sir Christopher fucking okay. Lee CBE OBE.
Yeah.
Is his
and
full
now
name
he only
title.
Gets the sir because he is a knight.
That had
yeah.
nothing to do with
yeah.
the Indomitable Order.
The CBE and the OBE has got nothing to do with us. That's
right.
like British royalty
that's
stuff.
British.
This is Red Phone yeah. Zone, important stuff.
We're gonna, we yes. are yeah. going to be able to officially allow him to use fucking in
we,
his name.
Yes, moving yes. forward, he has been anointed a member of the Order. So, Christopher fucking Lee, hats off to you, but I'm not wearing a hat. So, moving forward with this, Ethan and I did a little bit of talking about this this title that we're giving to people.
Yep.
And we, well, we went back and forth on it, and he just, I came up with the whole indomitable blah, 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 because he said, why don't you just call it the fucking list? And, you know, I don't know, that just doesn't have the pizzazz that I want to it.
I like indomitable.
And I agree with him.
Yeah, and I kind of like the idea of it sounding all regal and stuff and just having the comedy added to it. It's like, you know, because you're part of this, you can say fucking in between your names. So what I see as a member of the Order of Ruthos would be, I've explained it to Ethan, Shay, and Rachel the exact same way, to where you can say anything. You can say Christopher Lee is going to play
Carrot Top
in a biopic about Whoopi Goldberg's life or something. And I can look at them and say, but it's Christopher fucking Lee, and hands down, I win that conversation.
Yep.
That's what it takes for somebody to be a member of this. And I do believe that Ethan is what we are going to discuss inducting somebody else into this as well.
That is correct.
I think we're really going to be discussing why we are inducting this gentleman into this list.
He is a B actor. He has a very long, sordid career.
Quite sordid.
Yes, he has done some absolute crappy movies.
Yes.
I mean, just...
And TV.
And TV.
Yeah, and TV.
That's a good TV.
Painfully bad movies. But he's done some absolute cult classics. He's done some movies that are arguably some of the best cult films of all time. He has done some movies that are arguably some of the funniest and just most entertaining movies of all time. Whereas he might not be the best actor in the world, whereas he might not be a great philanthropist or anything like that, this man is...
He's very green.
He is very green. He has his own property out in... out in
Wyoming.
Oregon.
Ah, same thing.
Oh, really?
Same thing.
What's the difference?
We just alienated all of our Oregon and Wyoming viewers.
Uh-huh.
But, of course, the man I refer to is the man who starred in... such classics as The Evil Dead, Evil Woo. Dead 2, Army Woo. Of Darkness.
Give me some sugar, baby.
Give me some sugar, baby.
Currently can be seen in Burn Notice.
He's in some great old Spice commercials.
Some great old Spice commercials. He's in such classics as Assault on Dome 4 and Moontrap. Moontrap with Walter Koenig. I am, of course, talking about Bruce fucking Campbell.
Bruce fucking Campbell. Oh, yeah. Boy.
Anyone who is watching this show knows...
I would hope
should know who that
knows
is.
Knows who this is.
I think one of the things that really is a sign that he does deserve to be in here is I can quote Bruce Campbell almost a drop of a hat.
Oh, yeah.
And that's really saying something.
And I probably...
It's such a part of the geek subculture.
It's such a part of who we are.
Yeah, it is the give me some sugar, baby.
Give me some sugar, baby. We do that kind of stuff to each other, and there's never that whole elbow in the ribs, ha ha ha. That was from the Bruce Campbell movie because we know.
Yeah.
Because he's just such a part of everything, part of the geek culture. How many times have you met him now? One or two?
Twice.
Yeah,
I have met the man twice.
Actually got to meet Bruce Campbell?
Yes.
Oh, that's cool.
On both
cool.
of his book tours. I drove out on his post-park tour. I drove out by myself.
Confessions of a B-movie Actor of Chinsky
Confessions
Kill.
Of
Great
Chinsky
read.
Kill.
Read it.
Confessions of a B-movie Actor is a great book.
Making Love, Bruce Campbell's.
I have not read that one yet.
You haven't read that?
I haven't.
Oh, it's hilarious.
I still haven't at home.
It is hilarious. It is so crazy.
I don't want to read it because then I will have nothing.
Oh, he's in the Spider-Man game
movies.
He's in all three Spider-Man. He's in the first two Spider-Man
games
as the narrator.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's
hilarious.
He has a great just really king of the cheesy chin grin, cheesy one-liners, and really he is a professional actor. He has great acting. He actually was very close. A lot of people don't know, very close to being starring in The Phantom.
Mm-hmm.
which ended up starring Billy Zane.
And
it sucked. The second one.
And it would have been a different movie if Bruce Campbell's
entirely.
In it. And it probably would have been good. It probably would have been good.
No. We'll never know, sadly.
Yeah.
And at that point, he decided he just wanted to be a B-movie actor.
Yeah.
And
he has taken it in stride.
Oh, yes, entirely. And he is a guy. I drove 5 hours by myself out to St. Louis, Missouri for a book signing.
They got White Castle there.
And met the man, got him to sign a copy of his book and a copy of a picture I had, an 8x10 I had of him. And then he came to Kansas City shortly a few years after that for for the Make Love the Bruce Campbell Way tour, and with along with he was screening Man with the Screaming Brain.
You know, I never did see
Man
that.
Man with Screaming
Oh,
Brain.
It's really cornball.
What's
bad.
The Hotep something?
Bubba Hotep. Bubba Hotep. I love Bubba Hotep.
Possibly one of his best performances.
I love Bubba
as
Hotep.
Elvis
as an old Elvis fighting in Mummy.
And I believe he was Elvis.
Great anecdote.
Really...
My brother and his fiance were living out in Virginia, and they that movie opened out there, and they saw it. They loved it. And they heard Bruce Campbell on an interview on the radio, and someone had called in and was talking about how much they enjoyed the movie. It talked about how it showed them, you know, how that, you know, you can enjoy life and you can, you know, have all these great experiences. And Bruce Campbell sort of, you got all that from a Mummy picture, did you?
That sounds like so, Bruce Campbell.
Yeah, and I have fond memories of him at the first book signing I saw him at. I mean,
he was there,
and it was very. It went very late. I waited in line for like 2.5 hours to get up to him. As I was leaving, he runs out. He himself runs out of the store with this basket full of candy and starts flinging it at the crowd and runs around the building and then runs back inside, sits down, starts signing autographs, taking pictures and all.
Knowing
that
Bruce
stuff.
Campbell, there's probably suppositories or, you know, like
something a little more adult than the candy.
Yeah.
It makes me very happy. Yeah.
He's loved by his fans and
he loves them.
He's very very appreciative of his fans, and it's very apparent in all of his work.
It really is.
And he took the time to do the whole I Am Not Ash campaign thing where, I mean, it came off as like, I am not Ash.
Well, he fucked himself by writing and directing and producing My Name is Bruce then.
Yes, which they're doing a sequel to.
Right,
I cannot wait.
There are some people who wouldn't care enough.
I love My Name is Bruce. Horrible freaking effects,
though.
It's bad,
but it's so
funny.
It's
hilarious.
But I think that's why I like him so much, and why I think he is a candidate and is inducted into the order, because he has a great sense of humor about himself. He's a humble guy, and he just does some great stuff.
He does.
And he does some awful stuff.
Uh-huh.
Bad,
so
painfully awful.
I'm specifically thinking of a TV show where he was a like gun smuggler in like a military environment.
Jack of all trades.
They were at like, it was like a military type of thing where he was like a real small character, and he was like sort of, he'd show up and sort of be the moral delivery man or something like this.
It probably wasn't a show he was starring in, but that was probably
I couldn't even tell.
It was
you.
Horrible.
I think I know what you're talking about, and I think it starred Pamela Anderson.
Yeah, it sounds like it's about VIP.
Yep.
That was it. It was VIP.
Do you remember Ethan?
But he was on episodes of Ellen.
Yep.
He was on.
He was
Briscoe County Jr. He's famous for being three specific characters, now four, really.
Briscoe County Jr. was
Briscoe
cool.
County Jr.
I love
being
Briscoe
a great
County
one. Ash, of course. Number four.
What about number three?
Or number
Bubba
three.
No.
Elvis, I suppose. No, he's famous for. Gosh, I think it's really just those three now.
What about Autolycus or whatever his name was?
That is it, Autolycus.
Sorry,
Prince of Thieves. Sorry,
I took the piss out of your wind there.
Autolycus, the Prince of Thieves
from Hercules,
King of Thieves, I should say, from Hercules and Xena. And
which,
then, of course, the number four character he is famous for being is Bruce Campbell.
Yep,
right.
From My Name is Bruce.
My Name is Bruce, and really just
life.
Him.
Yeah.
Bruce fucking Campbell.
And I bet you Ethan can answer that. Well, I mean, I'm not going to pose this as a question. I'm going to pose this as a statement. Autolycus has the distinction of being the first likeness of Bruce Campbell to be made into an action figure, if I remember correctly.
That is correct.
Autolycus before Ash?
Oh, hell yeah. It took them forever to make an Ash figure.
Yes.
But when they did, it was awesome.
Yes.
Oh, my
Movie
God.
Maniacs line.
Oh, my God.
I still have that figure.
Hell, you probably have a couple of them.
I still have my 18-inch Ash.
If we could have an American version of Sirring or of knighting someone, but that's again.
Well,
it's
we
a,
do now.
We do now.
Now
that's right.
Order of Ruthos.
You can now add fucking
it is now
to your
Bruce
name.
Fucking
Campbell.
Check your post. You're going to be getting something with all the rules.
That's right.
Yes.
We're going to actually send these to the proper through the proper channels to these individuals. So
yes.
And then Bruce Campbell might send us a letter bomb, knowing him. That's what's so cool about him.
Might send us a cease and desist order.
Yeah,
hopefully.
Which would be awesome.
Hell yeah, we show it on the show.
I think if we sent it to his house, he might. But if we sent it to his agent, I think we might be okay.
Yes.
Actually, I could see him being flattered and doing nothing about it. He could be all like, and then throw it over his shoulder. I can totally see him doing that. I can see Christopher Lee giving us a cease and desist order, but hey.
I think
he also probably wouldn't take the effort because he's old.
Properly honorific, I think that most of these people do appreciate being recognized, even by silly people like us.
I can say for a fact that Christopher Lee very much appreciates his fans. I talked to him one time on the radio.
You actually got to talk to him on the radio?
No, I talked to him. It was after, about in 2000, and Ethan's father met him too, didn't he?
Yep. My dad met him when he lived in Los Angeles.
Yeah, but it would have been 2002, I think. Yeah, it was when episode 2 came out.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, well, I know that's when episode 2 came out. I was just trying to remember. It doesn't matter. It was right before episode 2 came out, and there was a lot of information came out, and he was going to be on the radio. And it was on the Johnny Dare Morning Show. It's on, it's a Kansas City radio station. And they said, and later after the break, we're gonna have the legendary actor Christopher Lee. You'll know him as playing Gandalf in Lord of the Rings, and he got an Oscar nomination for Gods and Monsters, and da 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 da. And started naming off all this shit that Ian McKellen had done. And I'm like, what the hell's going on? And so they went into their commercial, and I called him up, and I said, what the hell? Is Ian McKellen going to be on your show or Christopher Lee? They said, it's Christopher Lee. I said, are you positive? Because you named off a bunch of shit that Ian McKellen did. And they're like, And I'm all like, yeah. I said, well, you know, he's actually going to be in Star Wars, and I named him off a whole bunch of stuff. And they go, oh, thank you. You saved our asses. Do you want a t-shirt or something? I'm like, no, just fucking leave me alone. And they said, well, why don't you leave us your phone number? We can see if you can get him to call you. I mean, yeah, whatever. So I gave him my phone number. I listened to the interview. The interview went really well. Well, it's kind of cool. Was Christopher Lee just demands this respect out of people that he doesn't demand. Mm-hmm. It just comes out of them.
Imminent, sort of.
Yeah, and
he has a presence.
He has his presence, and it's on the radio.
Part of him being 6 feet tall.
Yeah, but it was a radio interview, so it was over the telephone. But Johnny Dare was interviewing him like he was any kind of, you know, fucking schmuck that he was interviewing, and like Christopher Lee was just answering, you know, bam, 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 and you could just feel Johnny Dare's respect for him build with every single thing. And by the end of it, he was calling him sir and da 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 da. And he was all like, hey, Christopher, how you doing? When he opened it up, and I bet you Christopher Lee thought about killing him at that point because, you know, Christopher Lee is very British, and he actually talks about it a lot in a lot of his interviews that he doesn't like it when people stay seated when people enter the room, and, you know, just very proper. And, you know, I could tell he probably didn't like it. Anyway, after the radio interview, you know, about 5 minutes later, my phone rang. And I answer the phone, I'm like, hello? And they're like, hello, is this Aaron Hoover? I'm like, yes. Like, hello, this is Christopher Lee. And I'm like, hi, Christopher Lee. I'm like, what the fuck? And he's like, yeah, I heard the, you know, I'm not going to do the voice because I don't want to butcher it. But he said, you know, I hear that you're a fan of mine. And I'm like, oh, yeah, sure I am. And he's all like, you know, well, do you have any questions for me? And I said, well, I got two. And the first question I asked him is, bearing in mind, this is before episode 2 had come out, and if you paid any attention to Star Wars before the movie's come out, there's this big controversy of how to actually say the name Dooku. Because a lot of people thought it was Dooku, a lot of people thought it was Dooku, and there was other variations on
Doku,
it.
Dooku.
Dooku was another one.
I think that was me Dooku, talking
yeah.
about
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of them. And I said, well, how
is
do you...
Is he a Super Saiyan?
Yeah, Super yeah, Saiyan. Really. Yeah. And,
an image of Christopher Lee with blonde hair.
That'd be awesome. That'd be awesome. But he, But he was quiet. I said, how do you say your character's name in Star Wars? And he was quiet for a second. And I said, well, I mean, like that Dooku or whatever. And that silence, you know, at the time, I'm starting to wonder, because at the time, once again, before the movie came out, it was a secret that he was actually the Sith Lord. But you'd have to have been a fucking retard to not realize that. Mm-hmm. And the name of Darth Tyrannus had already been leaked. But you know, I could tell that he didn't want to spill that. I'm like, no, I meant like Dooku. He's like, well, George Lucas told me to say it Dooku, but he said that actually that word is Japanese for poison, and the proper pronunciation Dooku. Of that is Dooku. And he said, so it should be Dooku, but they say it Dooku.
Well, it should be Dooku. Wow. With a non-Anglican.
According to Sir Christopher fucking Lee,
sorry,
it's Dooku. But at any rate, yeah, and then what else did I ask? And then I said, I don't remember what the other question was. And he said, well, which of my movies have you liked? And I said, I really liked your Musketeer movies. He's like, oh, yes, I still have bumps and bruises from that one. Which is funny because he said the exact same thing to Ethan's dad.
And that exact same thing to my dad about 20 years before.
Yeah, and it just must be a canned answer that he has.
He's probably been asked it several times.
I'm sure he has. But those movies are awesome. He was my number six favorite villain. He showed up a couple of times in our top six sword fights. So, yeah. It was awesome. I got to talk to him. I'd like to meet him before he goes away, but probably not going to happen. I don't make it to lovely London.
Keep our eyes open, see if he goes to any cons.
If he show up at a Comic-Con or something like
that.
We'll
see if we can get him to CanCon.
Yes!
Would Christopher fucking Lee be allowed to come into CanCon for free?
I'll pay his way.
Because I was going to say, because Ethan's not going for free.
No, but, yeah, so we got Sir Christopher fucking Lee, and we got Bruce fucking Campbell.
The first two inductees,
so congratulations. Be checking the post for that. This is not something we're going to be doing often. We don't really want this to turn into a list of people we like list. Because, I love John Malkovich, but I don't think he's ever going to be on the fucking list. To tell you the truth, he's never going to be a member of the Order of Ruthoz. I mean, at least he's going to have a lot more to prove to me before he can get there. So... but we are talking about doing this.
He's going to need to do a comic book movie.
Yeah.
What? Has he done a comic book movie? You know I don't know anything about this.
No.
Malkovich? He's going to be in Jonah Hex.
Is he?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we did talk about that on the show, didn't we?
He's going to be in Transformers 3.
That doesn't
count.
There you
go. That's good. That's a good start. Mr. Malkovich.
So come back next week when Shay's going to be dead.
Actually, you guys like
the Transformer movies better than me. I just thought they're boring. But yeah. Right. So we are talking about doing inductees on every Zero issue. So, issue 0, issue 10, issue 20, so forth. So if you have any recommendations, please do feel free to email them to us at any of our names, Aaron, Ethan, Shay at redphonezone.com or redphonezone@redphonezone.com or redphonezone@gmail.com. So, next comes to the part that I'm really not looking forward to. We're going to be doing a characterization of the Red Phone Zone host. Aaron, please, stay tuned. I guess we're back with the characterization segment where these two fine gentlemen took the time to make up a character sheet for the host of the Red Phone Zone, Aaron, and put it into their favorite characterization segments. So, Shay, what do you got to say about me?
Well, I'm going to say first off that Ethan most likely has, again, done a more thorough job of making a character. I've been really busy getting a job this last week.
Congratulations. Yeah,
thank you. It's been a long couple of years. The thing being that I started with something, and I think I really am going to get the kernel of what I wanted to get across just from the basic choice that I chose. It's not filled out. I haven't filled all the skill points and the powers or anything like that.
I don't have any skills or powers.
I know that you're familiar with this system, and so I was curious about whether you guys would have some input on what kind of things would go in as arts. I've chose a changeling, a grump knocker.
I am not very familiar with
Is that White Wolf?
Oh, you're not familiar? You guys aren't familiar with that?
I've heard of it.
That's about it. Never was
a grump knocker?
No.
That sounds about right. Whatever it is.
Continue.
Well,
please do.
A knocker is... the changelings are basically human beings who have a fairy spirit that... and not like fairy, but like scary old myth. Kill
like
you in your sleep, Fae.
Yeah.
Okay. The
like Fae should be.
Like yeah. Fae should be the way they were originally.
Go watch.
And I have a thing about that.
Pan's
because
Labyrinth.
My name
yeah,
means
or
Fae.
Or read the original Peter Pan.
Yeah.
Tinkerbell is a motherfucker.
Puck, Titania, Oberon, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
The thing about a knocker is knockers are builders.
A knocker.
They fix things.
It's
they
also
make
word
things.
For boobs.
They sorry. Build things.
They like boobs.
They're crass. They're universally crass and rude people, and they also Everything they make is sort of half broken.
That sounds like me.
And I chose, and there are three.
What have you known that I made that's half broken? The red phone zone.
Well, I just sort of, you know, I just that was the poking fun part about it.
Oh, okay. Seriously.
Yeah, well,
I'm sure make shit that's half broken all the time.
Like the lightsaber?
Like the lightsaber. Well, I could fix that. I just need to get that foam. I just keep forgetting.
That sounds like a knocker. Oh, I could fix that. Just give me 2 fucking seconds, and I'll get around to it in a fucking minute. That's a knocker.
You got it.
And in the changing system, there's three levels of a character you can be. You can either be a childer. It's called a childer, and then there's a wilder, and then there's a grump. And I went ahead with a grumpy
son of a bitch.
As far as powers go, you know, that's getting less persnickety because I don't think that you know.
Before you get too far, this is Changeling the Dreaming?
The Dreaming, yes.
Okay, it's not the new one.
No, I have not really cracked open those.
The new one is Changeling the Lost, I think. So
yeah, I've skimmed it. I know the basic format of all of the new systems.
I just wanted to be sure for our listeners there.
Yeah, no, we're going with the old school, the original.
Our viewer.
We've actually gone up to 60 some unique views.
I saw that.
And that's at...
That's more than the Bag to Boardcast.
Yeah, no, so
it's
we're...
because we're awesome.
That's right, we are awesome.
Especially me. That's why we're characterizing me. That's why I need to be played Jason Lee in a movie.
You almost said Muse, didn't you?
I did. Yeah. I almost did.
I think we really did make Kevin Smith's next Clerks. It's Red Phone Zone, played by all his favorite people.
There we go.
Yeah, the idea being that I thought that was sort of an appropriate sort of... And I really... really think that Changeling is perhaps one of... Changeling the Dreaming, not the Lost, but Changeling the Dreaming is probably one of the best games ever made, as far as settings.
I've heard of it, I've never played it. White Wolf is always very...
Played Werewolf and you've played Mage, at least, I know
right.
that.
Yeah.
It's Changeling's the same vein.
Well, I mean, I just
less
find...
combat-oriented.
I find Mage, off-putting because it's just so ruley. There's so many rules to it, and... Ugh. But yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Changeling's a little more fun, a little more fanciful.
I can't really speak towards it. I mean, the whole making half-ass broken shit sounds like me. Grump,
crassness.
Crass. I'm very crass. Yeah. Okay, whatever.
I'll take it.
All right.
Uh-oh.
And you get to keep this after.
Yay. Hey, that's my picture. It looks just like me.
That is your picture with the lightsaber. Yeah.
And I made that picture when I was like 22 years old.
I know. I got it off your Facebook.
Oh, that makes sense. That's where it is.
Uh-huh. I decided to make you... I thought, you know, maybe Mutants and Masterminds, maybe something like that. But I was like, you know what?
Aaron just sucks.
I can't really picture Aaron without a cigarette dangling out of his mouth usually.
Yeah.
And so I immediately think Pulp Hero.
Yeah.
Two-fisted action.
I went with Savage Worlds. Now, Savage Worlds is a generic system.
I haven't played it.
It is a generic system. It is actually what they use for Deadlands.
I played Deadlands with you one night. It was super fun.
Yeah, it's actually, that's the system that eventually evolved into Savage Worlds.
Okay.
But now Savage Worlds is out, and it is a generic system. You can use it for superheroes, for fantasy, for really a lot of things.
Anything that could have been in a pulp magazine in the 20s.
Right. I have said on our show, my show, the Gamers Haven podcast, that Savage Worlds works best with a pulp-oriented, sort of two-fisted action type of game, whereas you have games like Feng Shui, which is turning that up to 11. Feng Shui works great for that.
See, it goes all the way up.
Savage Worlds works great for things like Star Wars.
Yeah.
In my opinion. It's that, you know, Indiana Jones type of, you know, fun action adventure movie. So, I decided Aaron needs to be built based in that system.
Neat.
Now, in Savage Worlds, you have 5 stats. There's agility, smarts, spirit, strength, and vigor. All are pretty self-explanatory at that point.
Vigor?
The key thing to remember
is vigor kind of like
constitution, roughly.
Yeah. Okay.
The way the stats work in Savage Worlds is you have die types associated with your traits, your abilities, and your skills.
Okay.
Average is a D6, then below average is D4, above average D8, D10, all the way up to D12.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I put your agility at a D6.
Really?
So fairly average in my opinion.
I highly disagree. I'd be like a D1. I'd be like a coin.
Strength also at a D6.
I can
fairly
see,
average.
I'd say my strength is average, my agility's lower.
All right. Smarts at a D8. I think Aaron is smarter than the average bear.
I'm smarter than Yogi.
Also a vigor of 8, as he is a bit more hardier than the average bear as well. And I put his spirit, which is willpower, really the thing that fuels various, in the game, fuels your magic, your willpower, your that sort of thing, at a D10.
Why not a D20, motherfucker?
you're not doing acrobatics, so, yeah, just sort of at the drop of a hat.
Oh, I'm sorry. What is this one? That was my vigor?
That was your vigor.
I apologize.
Your spirit is a D10.
Okay. Oh, your spirit.
My spirit, okay.
Vigor is a D8.
Yeah. Alrighty.
Those obviously start as the building block, and from there we move on to, of course, your skills.
Uh-huh.
In Savage Worlds, they're they bone down the skills a lot just to your basics. So, of course, you have fighting at a D4.
I can't fight.
Well, you can fight better than people who don't know how to fight.
Yeah.
So that's why you have a D4 rather than an unskilled check, which is a D4 minus 2. Guts, which is just...
Gusto?
Gusto, yeah. Cowabunga.
You know, you can look at things and go, okay, is a D6. Most people don't even have it.
I can see that.
Investigation, which is sort of like library use, research, that sort of thing, D6. Notice. Perception, coin. I think you are. D8.
Really?
I think so, yeah.
I don't think I'm very perceptive at all. I didn't notice Shay shave for like 2 hours.
I'm going off of what I remember here.
Okay.
Persuasion.
Oh.
Self-explanatory, D6.
What?
Repair, which is, you know, building stuff, fixing things, D6. Because I've always think of you, you're building crap all the time.
Yeah, I'm not doing a good job at
yeah.
it.
Shooting, which is not just used for guns, it's also used for bows and things like that.
Right.
I put you at a D8.
Should be, yeah. Better than the average bear at the...
With an additional edge later on here.
Ah.
Streetwise, which is just...
Coin.
Right. D6.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's
survival.
I keep forgetting that's average. Okay, I can buy average.
Survival.
Uh-huh.
At a, which is obviously...
Knowing fire, survival, building fires, catching a rabbit.
Survival at a D8.
Yeah, I can keep
swimming
along.
At a D6. I'm sure he can swim.
I can't swim.
Uh-oh.
I cannot swim.
You can't swim?
Well, I
cannot swim.
That, obviously.
Yeah, I cannot swim.
I assume he can swim. Taunt. D6.
Really? Uh-huh. I'm a really good taunter.
Throwing. So, like,
throwing
weapons and throwing things. D8. And tracking at a D6.
Is it because of all the stuff he throws at people?
Oh,
no.
All the time. And, of course, his highest skill is knowledge of geek crap at a D10.
Yeah, probably.
yeah.
From there on, we move into hindrances and edges.
There
now,
we go.
As a...
I got lots of rough edges.
As a human, he gets a... free edge, but if he wanted extra edges, he had to take hindrances. So, I'm going to go ahead and start with hindrances. I also built this using the Savage World system for flawed heroes.
This is my kick in the
nuts
section.
So he can have
some
extra hindrances, because it is Aaron.
I am Aaron.
He has to have extra hindrances. I gave you, now there are two levels of hindrances in Savage Worlds. There's minor and major.
Uh-huh.
The minor ones you got is your habit of smoking.
Okay.
So, it's not, it's annoying but constant habit.
Yeah.
To me.
I love it.
You get annoyed when you don't have
this
it.
This is a hindrance.
It's a small object
you are
to
loyal.
Keep track of.
Yeah.
You never leave a man behind. You're very loyal to your friends.
I am.
People you know.
Fuck.
Peg me there, damn.
You're stubborn.
Yeah. I am not!
There we go. Case closed. Then to the major ones.
Major.
Bad luck.
Yeah.
Because your luck sucked.
I do have
that
a
that effectively means is you draw one... less Benny each game session, whereas everyone gets 3, you only get 2. Oh. And Bennies are used to reroll.
Yeah, I have shitty luck.
And, of course, clueless.
Clueless.
I am clueless.
Aaron, I love you, man, but you're clueless. Okay, which gives you a minus 2 on common knowledge checks.
Yeah.
So, like, common sense checks.
Yeah.
I'll
know what's playing in the theater, but I'll walk into the door trying to go inside.
Exactly.
Dunk. Yeah, that's me.
Then
do they have a bathroom
to,
in this public building?
No. move on to edges. I think, Aaron, you get charismatic.
I should.
So you get
your stupid ass drives 50 miles every week to come do this stupid little show that you get nothing out of.
That's true.
That's some charisma.
And what
right
that
there.
Does is gives you a plus 2 to your drive trait charisma score, which gives you a plus 2 to all social checks.
Yeah.
Most people have a charisma of 0.
Yay.
I give you command, which
he's
means...
He's bossy.
Because you are, I think, of all three of us, you are the most one bossy, and you are our leader at this point. So you have command.
Our
meaning,
fearless
allies,
leader.
We get an additional plus one on our spirit roll to recover from being shaken in combat.
You tried to do something nice for me, but you did it for yourselves.
Exactly. Totally. Entirely. You're also, when getting into combat and whatnot, you're level-headed, which means normally you only draw one initiative card. You, however, draw two and keep the best.
Neat.
And then, going with his tales of the archer capabilities he has...
That's true,
is,
yes.
You are a marksman.
I were.
If you don't move, you game it, you gain the aim maneuver, which gives you a bonus to hit.
Yeah, okay. I can see that.
And of course, then we get into your lovely equipment, which gave you a car, bow, a knife, a longsword.
Right, he does have a longsword. He's threatened me with it.
It's right over there.
Mm-hmm.
It was.
And of course, a laser sword.
Do I cut my arm off with it every time I use it?
I'm sure you do, but your attack with it is a mighty D4 plus 7.
Did you actually give him a lightsaber?
Sweet.
Yes. It's
oh, you're so nice.
I need
it's Aaron.
Yeah.
And he has a lightsaber in the picture, so I figured I had to give it to him.
Yeah.
Has an armor-piercing 12, so it really cuts through armor pretty much without any problem. And does its strength plus D6, so 2D6 damage. And plus you also have a compact car. So
I have a compact car?
You do now.
I guess I do.
There you go, Aaron. Your very own Savage Worlds character sheet.
Sweet.
That's really cool.
I'm looking at stuff here. Cool.
I can't believe you can't swim.
I can't swim.
You can't swim?
Yeah, I do have I don't have $225.
I guess
I wish I did. I did today when you probably wrote this. C40, cell phone, clothing, normal, compact car. Yeah, okay. I can see this.
So there you go.
Neat. Yeah, I could, yeah, well, that wasn't nearly as insulting as I anticipated it to be. No, yeah. So, yeah, I kind of had some stuff built into, if you guys, he's got a charisma of 3. I'm like, well, I kind of had that thing built in. Well, you drive 50 miles to come be on my stupid little show, dumbass.
Just sort of, get that out there somehow.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I was trying to be painfully honest.
You, well, hey.
I think it was pretty accurate.
It seems about right to me.
Except for that swimming thing.
But he didn't know that.
Yeah,
you can't blame that on
that.
Yeah, well,
I'm
a fantastic swimmer, so.
Yeah.
I
can't swim, but it doesn't stop me from getting in the water.
Yeah.
That comes with that clueless
like
thing.
The
I will totally.
You like doggy paddle and dead man float?
I can swim well enough to not die.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So you actually do have the swimming skill. Then.
Okay, fine. I can do it well enough to not. You throw me in the ocean, I'm going to.
It would probably be a D4, not a D6.
You throw me in the ocean, I'm going to drown. That's all there is to it.
Well, yeah.
So, I mean. But, you know, like, I can, like, jump into a swimming pool in a deep end and not die.
I think now we need to go to our lovely.
Intermission.
That's right.
Yeah, we're going to be doing a little break here. We're going to be setting up for the rest of the show. After the intermission, we are going to be coming back with our top 6 favorite films of all time. Please do stay tuned. I'm
Thank you.
With the Red Phone Zone. Hope you had a good time on the intermission. We had a blast. And we did confirm that Sam Rockwell was indeed in Charlie's Angels. Well played, Rachel. Well played indeed.
Yes.
However, we are back, like I said, with the top six, where we're going to be discussing our top six favorite movies, since this is pretty much a self-serving issue. I keep saying that every single time we do this, this was the hardest one we've ever done, and I'm not going to say it this time. I didn't find this that particularly hard because I conceded to the fact that there's just really no easy or real way of making a top six list. What I ended up having to do was I just kind of had to say, you know, what kind of movie lover I am and that kind of thing. And contrary to popular belief, contrary to what you might have seen on this show, I actually do love movies. I love them. I mean, I know that, you know,
and
films. I like both. But you know, I mean, like I said, you know, I wasn't a big fan of Avatar, and, you know, I was in a really bad, sick mood last week, and I gave Adventures in Babysitting a D, when in a better mood I probably should have given a C+. But no, I love movies. I mean, I own many of them, and I just love watching movies. I always look forward to the Academy Awards, so that kind of thing. And when I was building my list, you know, it'd be so easy to just say, you know, my favorite movies are, you know, the
Star Wars movies.
The Star Wars movies, or, you know, the three Spider-Man movies and the three, X-Men movies or something like that. But what I decided to do is I just decided to kind of break it down by genre and so forth, and like genres that I feel are important that would be on a list of my top six. But before we get started, before I really get started into that, I just kind of got to look at, you know, why I love movies to begin with. Flash forward back to 1994, great year of movies. Absolutely phenomenal year of movies. That was a year that we had Forrest Gump, won Best Picture, Shawshank Redemption, Quiz Show, so many great movies. And, you know, like I have like a habit of saying, you know, I'm an easily led automaton, but I have to give my number six to be Pulp Fiction. 1994, currently holding a 94% on RottenTomatoes.com. I mean, come on. I mean,
it deserves every percentage of it.
It's an excellent movie.
It is. It's a perfect film.
I haven't seen Inglourious Bastards, so it's so far the best movie.
Tarantino's done. It's still the best. You're not going to top it. You cannot.
It's probably the reason I didn't like Kill Bills, because a lot of people
didn't like those.
Well, I didn't like them as much as I expected to, because everyone told me Kill Bill, it's better than Pulp Fiction.
Oh, it's not better. Pulp Fiction is just...
Yeah.
Pulp Fiction's lightning in a bottle. And, Quentin Tarantino... You know, honestly, Inglourious Basterds probably is the better film, but Pulp Fiction is probably the better movie, and goddammit, Quentin Tarantino doesn't make films, he makes movies.
Yes. There is a difference.
Quentin Tarantino, and I've likened him before to the Dr. Frankenstein of movie making. He takes all these dead things about movies. He takes crap like blaxploitation and samurai swords and, you know, people whose careers are dead,
a
like Pam Grier
or jumpsuit.
You know, any of this kind of stuff, and he takes it, he sews it together, breathes life into it, and makes a really, really, really exciting movie. And Pulp Fiction was the best of all these things. Pulp Fiction was made for $6 million. I don't know how many of you people are aware of how little money that is, and also how amazing that movie was made for $6 million. You had John Travolta, you had Uma Thurman, you had
Harvey Keitel,
Eric Stoltz, Tim Roth, just boom, 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 all these huge names in it, and it doesn't even look like a $6 million movie. What he did is, Quentin Tarantino, you know, like him or hate him, the dude's got passion. And he'll go in and he will sell the hell out of something to somebody. He'll get the money he wants. And God, I mean, that movie made me not hate John Travolta for a little while, then he started doing crappy movies again.
Yeah.
I could spend every moment of my life in cool school training to be cool, and I'll never be as cool as Samuel L. Jackson. Amazing in that movie. He probably should have won the Oscar. He honestly probably should have won the Oscar that year. He did lose to Martin Landau.
Was it Martin Landau?
Lost to Martin Landau.
Tommy Lee Jones the year before that.
Tommy Lee Jones beat out Leonardo DiCaprio for upsetting Gilbert Grape.
That's right.
Say what again?
He sure did. Say what again? I dare you. I double dare you, motherfucker. Oh, yeah. But
basically, our notion of what of Samuel L. Jackson comes from that movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, Samuel L. fucking Jackson.
Yeah.
But no, Pulp Fiction.
Not officially yet.
Not officially.
One of these days. He may be. He may be one day. But I mean, good God, guy. I mean, it's just it's a perfect movie. I have to own it. It's just a movie that I probably watch it easily 10 times a year, and I'll probably continue to, because I enjoy it every single time. When the special edition DVD came out, it had this neat little thing where it had trivia tracks on it, and it played stuff about the movie.
I love it when they do that stuff like that on DVDs.
And did you watch the Pulp Fiction one?
I think I did.
That movie came out like 5 years ago, and the movie came out in 94, so what is that? 16 years ago. And so this is a movie that I've been watching for 11, 12 years, 10 times a year, and I learned stuff about that movie that I never noticed. Mm-hmm. Like, did you know that it was Butch that keyed fucking John Travolta's car?
No.
It was. Do you realize that John Travolta wasn't as big of a schmuck as you'd seem to think he is for leaving his gun on the counter? No, that was Marcellus's. He left it on the counter when he went to go get donuts. I mean, I learned this stuff by watching the trivia track, and it's just such an amazing movie with so many great little details that it has to be on my list, even though it probably falls on everybody's list. But you know what? Maybe it does for a reason. Shay, what's your number six?
Well, I will go ahead and spoil that I did not choose Pulp Fiction, though it probably deserves to be on here.
That's an amazing film.
Specifically because you were talking about how you made your list, and I made my list because I say something, there's a specific thing that I say every once in a while that means something very, very specific to me.
Uh-huh.
That's I liked the way it came together. And what that means to me is basically going to be highlighted by this list, because these are all movies that I feel came together really well. And You know, it's that thing of it's really hard for me to describe exactly what it is. It's something about timing, about the movement from one scene to another, about how the characters interact with each other. But the first movie I put on the list, and this was also the last one I found, because of the five that come next actually just kind of fell into place, just like ding, 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 ding. I had to think about this one for a second, but I chose Run, Lola, Run.
Great movie.
That is a great
fantastic movie.
Movie.
Second movie I ever bought on DVD. First movie I bought was Highlander.
Originally Lola Rent in the German, and I think it's German.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And it was made by Sony in 1998, written by Tom Tykwer, who I wasn't able to find any reference to anything else that Tom Tykwer wrote. It's got a 93% fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes and deserves every percentage point.
I agree.
It's
very good movie.
Yeah, it's an excellent movie.
It's a great movie.
Great use of editing.
And it's an interesting piece. It just kind of shows you, choices that we make and circumstances that lead into the choices.
Right.
Really well. And what's her name? Franky Patinky or Franka Patinky
or something like that.
Whatever. Chick, and they're hot. She was also in the Bourne movies.
She was
the first two. She got shot in the head in the second.
Spoiler alert.
And also, it's also a nice movie in that sense of it's got a really, really the protagonist, the Lola, and the protagonist is you just really believe in what she's doing.
It's great how they set the movie up.
Striving and striving. That's all she's doing.
You see all these things, that appear random, but then as the thing goes on, they're not random.
No,
it comes into play later. You know, the guy's carrying the glass thing or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
That was a great movie.
Yeah.
Underrated. Underrated.
I thought it was...
Well, it's weird. You know, where it rewinds and she gets the second chance and then third
chance. I
think
it does that three times.
That would be a movie that I would like to see again because I don't think I've seen it since like 2000, 2001. It's been a while.
And it's racing the entire way through. I mean, Run
hyper-kinetic movie.
Yeah, and
it's
perfect
good film.
Yeah,
good film.
I know.
Not on my top six. But don't let that diminish how good it is. I approached my list, and everyone's going to think I'm a horrible movie snob
okay.
And, you know,
confessions of a movie snob.
Exactly, there we go.
So.
I started off trying to list, you know, it's like, okay, these are movies I have that are absolutely, like, awesome. I love them. They're, you know, like, deep down, they're movies that just I love with a passion, and therefore my favorites. And I have a lot. It ended up, after the first, basically listing the first two or three, I started going, I should put a sci-fi movie in here, or I should put a comedy in here, type of thing. So I sort of shoehorned in some others. So
exactly.
I say my list with the caveat that it's my top six movies at the time when I made the list. So
my
top movies.
And he made
it
hours ago.
Yeah,
me too.
So, actually, I made it yesterday,
so
might be completely different. So, my number six is Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Love it.
A classic
was
movie.
Was that directed by Grant Chapman?
It was directed by Terry Gilliam and Terry Jones.
I love Grant
Chapman. It was written by the Monty Python crew.
Wow. Yeah.
And currently has a 94% fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yes.
Of course, it's Graham Chapman, John Cleese, Eric Idle. It is such a just brilliant comedy classic. It cost next to nothing to make.
Yeah.
Yet it is one of the most memorable comedies that you will ever see.
Yeah.
Everybody
absolutely
quote from
timeless.
It. Everybody knows
the
at least
the Knights
of
the Say
movie.
Knee. Yeah.
The
on my nose
at you. Message for you, sir.
Yeah. Which you know,
it's so it's
my cell phone
hokey,
does that when I get a text.
Right. It's a
message for you, sir.
A hokey comedy, you know, that's like a bunch of weird British guys doing the quest for the Holy Grail. And it's just one of those movies that just speaks to me as one of my, just at the time when I was making this list, one of the funniest movies outright. You could watch it and you'd just be in tears. You're laughing so hard.
Yeah.
Have you ever watched the DVD extras where they put the
subtitles?
Yes.
Oh, my
subtitles.
God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And that's the thing I love about Monty Python is that everything is
inside
joke.
It's got repeat viewing, yeah.
And you can watch it again and again and again, and you can just laugh at all the same stuff over and over again. So that is my number six, Monty Python and the Quest for the Holy Grail.
Fantastic movie. Love that movie. And we got to move on to my number five. And my number five, like I said, I wanted to shoehorn in certain things. And I decided to shoehorn in a comedy as well. And you know, spoiler alert, whatever, I don't have Monty Python and the Holy Grail on here. And I actually kind of had this list kind of made up in my head, you know, kind of like an 80%. Like when I said I was going to do it, I think I had most of it figured out, and I almost wrote down Bowfinger because you know
Bowfinger is a good movie.
You know, it's just it's a comedy that speaks to Aaron. I'm not saying that it's that it's a better comedy than Monty Python.
And I agree with you. I mean, it is.
It's a hilarious ass
comedy.
It's not
a movie that everyone's going
to
get.
No, but it speaks to me because I'm that movie snob. Mm-hmm. But then in 2008, a movie came out that kicked fucking Bowfinger off my list, and that of course is Tropic Thunder. That movie speaks to me a lot more.
Was funny.
A lot more.
The TiVo is important, brother.
I mean, come on. I mean, it's written and directed and produced and starring Ben Stiller. Ben Stiller is a force to be reckoned with. He's a huge talent. I hope
hugely underrated.
Underrated talent. I mean, he's kind of a modern day Charlie Chaplin in a lot of ways. I mean,
that's a really good analogy.
Robert Downey Jr. said it before. It's not me saying it, but it speaks to me because it's a movie making fun of actors, and I love actors. I love making fun of actors. I mean, there's just so many scenes that, like, I damn near fucking cried in that movie when Ben Stiller at the end, spoiler alert, guys, sent the people off because he was finally home. He's with these people, and they're walking across the bridge, and they're like, "Oh, he decided to stay." And then they show Ben Stiller running across the bridge, and the little boy that he was adopting was just stabbing in the back with like a pencil, and he just takes the kid and flings him off.
And it's obviously a dummy.
Yeah, it is. Oh my God! And Robert Downey Jr. very much deservedly got a Oscar nomination for that movie.
Yes.
Who knew that guy was as fucking funny as he is?
Robert Downey Jr.
Actually,
is just a top-notch actor.
Oh, he's an amazing actor. I had no idea he was hilarious.
Yeah.
Jack Black, it could take or leave in it.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, overall, I loved that movie. I loved the way it made fun of itself. I mean, come on.
Tom Cruise.
I hate Tom Cruise, but he was funny as shit in that.
Oh, yes.
Oh my God. The whole thing with... I loved all the Simple Jack stuff. I loved it. Oh my God. I love you. I mean, it was just a hilarious movie. And there's a beautiful vindication in Robert Downey Jr. playing this horrible fucking character. He's not a black man. He's a white man that got his skin dyed black so that he could play the role better. And he's admitted that he modeled this character off of some of those stuck up snobbish actors such as Russell Crowe and Daniel Day-Lewis and Colin Farrell.
We couldn't say anything that would make them dislike us less.
I don't care anyway. But, you know, I like some of the stuff some of those people have done. But this is what Robert Downey Jr. said. I'm not saying it. But, you know, he played like the 5-time Academy Award-winning actor. I don't even remember his name. And the motherfucker got an Oscar nomination in real life for playing that character. I love that movie.
I need to watch that again.
Oh, my God. I loved that movie. God, it is my perfect comedy. It was made for me. Monty Python and the Holy Grail is probably the better film, but for Aaron, I love Tropic Thunder. Shay, what's your number five?
My number five is, and I'd like to say I did this to shoehorn a romance in there, but I actually have a soft spot in my heart for romance movies. The Mexican.
That is not a bad movie.
No,
is that the thing with
Brad Pitt and
Julia Roberts?
Yeah,
it didn't do it for me,
but it's not a bad movie.
It was better than I expected it to be. I think
that might be a point where I can say this is one of those things that is a movie that really came together well, in my opinion, in that sense of the time and the movement from one scene to the next, and everything happened right when you were ready for it. There was no waiting around for the next thing to happen. There was no, like, why did that just happen? Everything just flowed from one thing to the next, and that's what I really like about a movie. It's made in 2001 by DreamWorks, written by J.H. Wyman, who I also couldn't find anything else that he'd written, and only has a 55% on Rotten Tomatoes, but it came back on Google searches. Like, I took a second.
People love the shit out of that movie.
Not everybody, but
people love it. Love that movie.
I mean, my other movies did not come back.
El Camino.
El Camino.
The other movies on this list did not come back immediately. Well, one of them did, and you'll know which one I'm talking about here in a second. But the Mexican was just like, oh, like I was thinking that the Mexican was going to be the hardest to find because I was typing, I mean, what, the Mexican? Like, I'm sure that happens a million times on the internet somewhere. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But no, it was like all the Mexican results.
Yep.
So it's obviously very more popular than maybe Rotten Tomatoes indicates.
Well, I mean, that's just it. Rotten Tomatoes is based off of user and critic reviews, and a lot of critics are just retarded. I just sometimes wonder if critics forget why they became movie critics in the first place, which is just the pure enjoyment of movies.
Right.
So.
I mean, we're movie critics.
Well,
I mean,
so we're consumers. We're not critics.
I think we're almost.
We don't have any credentials. Yeah. No, I haven't seen that. No, once again, I haven't seen that movie in so long. I can't really speak to it. But I mean, I've seen it, and it wouldn't be on my top six most hated movies list. I can tell you that easily.
You know, I just don't think there's anything really to hate about it.
Well, I don't know.
It's a sweet story. Yeah. Of two people.
It's not one I would run out and buy, but it's not a bad movie.
One of the things I liked about it was like, you know, you have a lot of romance movies where these two people come together in the midst of this violent behavior. You know, something violent's going on, and two people come together in the middle of it, and you're like, oh well, I don't know how well that's going to work out. But in this movie, it's two people who've been together and have been struggling together, and then this violent scenario happens, and then they come out to the end of it and go, oh. Okay, we weren't appreciating each other and what we really meant to each other, and you feel like there was, unlike a lot of sort of action romance movies, it ends with this sort of like, wow, those two people went from being like kind of on the outs with each other to like with each other forever. Mm-hmm. You know, and I liked that about it.
Nice.
Okay, hey, you know, more power to you. I, you know, you bringing up some of these movies might make me want to watch them, or at least watch them again.
Oh, my next one you're definitely going to want to watch.
Okay, maybe. What do you say, Ethan? Are you done?
Yeah.
Sorry, are you done? Go ahead, Ethan. What's your number
My number five is a movie that spawned some god-awful sequels.
Uh-oh.
But the original movie is one that I think is a quintessential specimen of the 80s. It is a film that is has a lot to say about humanity and the monster and technology. It is, of course, one of my personal favorite movies, RoboCop.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
How about that for a dollar?
I called him something worse. Yeah.
Yes, and this is one movie that I watch pretty regularly. It came out in 1987.
What do you think about the remake?
I am terrified of it and don't think they should remake it at all because it's a perfect 80s movie.
A, it's good, and B, it's recent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's the point?
Movie.
It's a very timeless movie to me.
I don't know about that.
To me, it is.
It's set far enough in the future that we could watch it. I could watch it. I can see it.
No.
And I can watch it right now, and I wouldn't think it was
dated. When I think of timeless, it looks a little dated. The haircuts, the clothes.
What I mean by timeless is it's source material, I think. It speaks to generations.
Sure.
And, I mean, it talks about humanity, and, you know, there's a lot of deep things, but it's also freaking RoboCop.
It is RoboCop. You got to love Peter Weller.
I mean, Peter Weller is fucking awesome.
He is.
I love him in RoboCop. He's great. I mean, he's also Buckaroo Banzai. But he is Buckaroo Banzai. But it's directed by Paul Verhoeven and written by Ed Neumeier and Michael Miner. Ed Neumeier, of course, went on to write a lot of other things that Verhoeven did, like Starship Troopers and various other things.
I like Starship Troopers. It's not on my list, but I like it.
It was nominated for two Academy Awards for film editing and sound, but it won a special achievement Oscar for
sound
editing.
That's right, it did.
So it is an Oscar-winning film.
Wow.
And has an 88% freshness rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
Good.
Like I said, the sequels for it are...
I like the second one.
The second one's not bad. Upon reviewing it, it's not bad. It's like Predator 2. It's not great.
It's
not bad.
I haven't seen the third one ever.
The third one is... No,
You know what?
Horrible.
No. We watched it one rainy Sunday at Miracle Video.
It was so bad.
And I remember Lois died in it. I'm like, I'm done with this movie.
Yeah, I remember that.
I liked the second one. I mean, it was stupid. It was cheesy.
The second one really highlighted that whole element of the fact that it was something special about the main character that allowed him to get through that.
The movie is great about...
And it had Red from fucking that 70s show as the bad guy. Clarence Boddicker, is that his name?
Really?
Hey, yeah. He was, in the first movie, yes.
Yeah.
Every time I see that actor, I think Clarence Boddicker.
Yeah, it's Red. He's gonna Red from that 70s
show. Shoot me in
the
head and throw me out the freaking back of a van.
I don't...
Can you fly, Bobby? I can't... He freaks me out. That's why I couldn't watch that show, because I was like, it's freaking Clarence Boddicker.
The thing that always sticks out in my mind about that movie is the scene after they shoot him up and he goes to shoot him in the head. He's the whole thing where bam! I don't know why. That's always just stands out of my head.
It's a hyper-violent cyberpunk movie.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you have big business just being... fucking dick.
Evil, yep. and
I want an Ed 209.
And yes, Ed 209.
Oh,
and
he had to, and you know, the, I mean, it's spoiling the end, but he had to like get the guy fired.
Yeah, that was
to enable
that was neat.
To actually get
that
in.
Was neat.
That was a real cool little.
You're fired.
Thank you.
Yeah. And that was that actor.
The fired him or the got
Ronnie
shot?
Ronnie Cox, who played Dick Jones, the villain. That was his first villain role.
Really?
Before that, he played very. Nice characters, fatherly figures.
Yeah.
This was his first character as a villain. And of course, Clarence Boddicker was played by Kurtwood Smith.
Kurtwood Smith, Red,
who ironically did a voice in First Flight,
mm-hmm.
I believe. But of course, Peter Weller, Nancy Allen, Miguel Ferrer. It's one.
Miguel Ferrer was in that.
Miguel Ferrer.
Who the fuck was he in that?
He was Bob Morton.
Oh my God, he was! Oh my God, he was!
Bob Morton made a mistake. Now it's time. Bob Morton.
Oh wow!
Now it's time to erase that mistake.
Oh my God! Wow!
Yeah.
Wow! I didn't realize that was him. It's been a while since I've seen that too.
And it's a great film.
You still have the Criterion DVD, don't you?
Oh yes, I do.
I didn't figure you would sell
that
one.
I actually got the anniversary steel case edition.
Yeah, I heard that one's pretty groovy. Pretty groovy.
Love RoboCop.
Yeah, you always had a penchant for 80s action movies.
RoboCop.
Yeah, once again, spoiler, it's not on my list. Back on the story of Aaron's love affair with movies, something that's happened to me recently, you know, you see the Orange Lantern t-shirt and the ring, and I'm wearing a Batman belt buckle, I don't feel like standing up, but you know, I've really developed this taste.
It's because he's not wearing pants.
Because I'm not wearing pants. I've developed this love of comic books, and you know, I love comic books, I love movies, and you know, you put them together, and it's just something that I'll eat right up. And I didn't want, you know, I could probably build a top six favorite comic book movie list, to tell you the truth.
We should do it at some point.
Maybe we will. That. Are we going to do that on your episode?
That's my episode. Yeah.
Awesome.
Okay, so, you know, maybe I'm just screwing myself on a future issue, don't care. I just decided to put my most favorite of the comic book movies, and it's Batman Begins, 2005. Currently holds an 85%, directed by Christopher Nolan. Also, naturally, he did direct the sequel. We spoke with him a little.
We called
him
up on the telly.
And he's like, yeah. All in all, I don't think it's the best comic book movie that's out there. The Dark Knight's probably the superior film.
Yeah. But Batman Begins is a better movie.
It's a better movie. It's more, to me, it's more fun. Like, you know, I mean, I love The Dark Knight, but, you know, I mean, not to the extent of, like, you know, like The Watchmen or your, you know, sure. Watership Down or Boys Don't Cry. But I do feel a little bit dirty with the way it ends because of the pure corruption of Harvey Dent. But, you know, there's none of that bullshit in Batman Begins. There's certainly some things I don't like about it. Like, you know, I am one of those people that didn't particularly like the Christian Bale Batman voice, but it also didn't bother me to the point where I didn't like it. Love me some Liam Neeson. Love me some Ra's al Ghul. I never had a beef with Katie Holmes as the love interest. I mean, she was okay.
Yeah, she was okay. Maggie Gyllenhaal did a better job.
She's ugly, but she did a better job. She acted better.
Yeah, she acted.
But, you know, whatever. I love Tom Wilkinson.
But I will say this in the first movie, Katie Holmes was cold a lot.
Yeah, she was. That's the truth. Yep, her little turkey.
I thought her sweetness was really
her turkey
for the character.
Timers popped up quite a few times in that movie. He's absolutely right. Cillian Murphy as a Scarecrow creeped me the fuck out. I mean, he's just like, ugh.
He's a creepy villain.
Yeah, he does. He really does.
That movie he did, Red Eye.
Yep.
Terrible movie. Yeah. He's freaking creepy in it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, like I said, I just enjoy watching it. And it's actually kind of going against the grain of Aaron of a movie watcher because I don't particularly like the first Spider-Man movie because I'm not a big fan of exposition. But somehow...
That's what the first movies typically are.
I understand that, but this movie is exposition, but it doesn't bother me that much. Mm. I mean, you know, kind of like, I mean, I own this movie on DVD, I own it on Blu-ray, I have it on my iPod, and I have it on UMD. So wherever I am, I can watch this damn movie. And I do, because I like it that much. I mean, it's just so much fun. And I think the reason that I like it as much as I do is because, you know, yeah, the whole the comic book movie things that we're enjoying now are, you know, are partially because of the original, the first Spider-Man movie, 2002. But I think the caliber that we're getting started with Batman Begins. You know, Spider-Man was, you know, it was a fun, goofy Spider-Man comic book movie. Batman Begins was a serious take on a character that I love.
That happened to be in a comic book.
Well, it's like I say about Dark Knight.
Yeah, great movie.
I would say great crime film.
Yeah.
Just happens to have Batman in it.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's just it. But, you know, I just prefer watching The Dark Knight. Batman Begins. I prefer it. Yeah, that's my number five.
Fine choice.
Thanks, sir. What's your number four, Shay?
It is a movie that I seriously doubt anyone has ever heard of. It was something that was like stuck out in my childhood. I've watched it again since, as an adult, I was really shocked that it was as adult as it was, because it's an animated movie. And it's really not a kid's movie when you watch it from an adult perspective. It was in 3D, but I don't want to let anybody take that away from it. I watched it on cassette, and it was flat, and it was fine.
Yeah.
It's called Star Chaser, The Legend of Orin.
That's familiar to me.
It's an animated movie about a...
I've heard of that.
It's a young slave boy in the mines of an alien planet. They've lied to them, telling them that the world is, you know, to keep them as slaves. And he finds this sword hilt, and without any real explanation of what's going on, he's able to use the sword hilt as sort of a lightsaber.
Neat.
Like, he can hit things. It's a more of a mystical lightsaber because it doesn't harm good people, which is sort of the weird thing. Like, he can make robots fall apart, and he can attack these evil mutant body parts switching people that he finds when he gets out of the caves. There's these people that are passing body parts around, and that's like one of the first parts where you're just like, wow, this is a really, really sick adult movie. And he's able to slice them to pieces, but then he meets sort of a... And I've never been able to stop associating this secondary character with Han Solo, because he's a starship captain, he gets the princess at the end, and all this kind of stuff. And, well, I kind of ruined the movie for you guys, but...
Totally.
Yeah, no, you figure that out well.
Now I'm just going to shoot myself after the show.
It doesn't ring any bells with me. But
I've heard the name before, but that's really, as far as it goes.
Is it available on DVD?
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know if it's available on DVD.
It probably is.
It was so unheard of that it doesn't even have a rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
Was it a made-for-TV movie, possibly?
No, it was a...
That's the only time I've ever seen stuff not get rated.
It was a 1985 made... It was in the theater. I saw it the first time in a theater in 3D by MGM, written by Jeffrey Scott, who hasn't written anything else, at least not that I can find. And it's a really interesting movie, and it deals with a lot of adult themes of oppression and sexuality and spirituality. And it's really cool. And I don't want to spoil it, because I think you guys should watch it. And it's definitely I did a bunch of like watching like Thundercats and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and things like this that I was liked as a kid to sort of check on them again. And
how you doing, Raphael? Yeah.
Yeah, and I watched Star Chaser, Legend of Orin, and I was just like,
wow,
this is a movie that I like now.
Yeah.
You know, and so nice.
Sounds like a really sentimental choice for you.
Yeah, but and there's a lot of elements of it that I thought were just really great. But I can be hypercritical of my own sentimentality and say that it is a worthy movie to be watched by anyone of any age.
Okay, cool. Should check that one out. I'm going to have to get you to write that down for me or some noise.
Yes.
What's your five, Ethan?
Four. My number four. My number five is RoboCop.
Wow, really?
RoboFucking Cop.
Going entirely in a different direction from RoboCop, obviously.
RoboCop 2?
This is definitely a Ethan is a movie snob movie. But it is an Oscar winner for Best Picture. It is a great, great film that has great crime film. It is The Godfather.
Yeah.
I like part in 1972, it has a 100% freshness rating on Rotten Tomatoes. Directed by Francis Ford Coppola, won 3 Oscars for Best Actor, Best Picture, Best Adapted Screenplay, was nominated for 8 others.
Yeah, I do know that Coppola didn't win for that one. He didn't win director.
No, and Marlon Brando won Best Actor but turned it down.
That was his famous, you know, let's save the Indians thing. Yes. Yeah.
And then later he wanted it. He
wanted it back. Yep. Well, he wanted it back so he could sell it.
Alrighty then. But it is The Godfather, great, in my opinion, great crime film. It's a film about family, and I think one thing that the movie does that I love is you get endeared to these cold-blooded...
motherfuckers.
...murdering just criminals. Mm-hmm. And you take a step back from it and go, why do I care about these
any
characters?
Of these people. Yeah. All of these
they're
people.
All horrible. They all... You know, they murder people, they break the law, but then you get into it, and it's like, you love them.
They're still people.
The family is so tight, and the characters are so well done. You get pissed off when James Caan's character has to go beat the crap out of
his brother-in-law. Yep.
And you're like, yeah, fuck you, man. Yep. You need to get the crap beat out of you for beating up his sister. A lot of people like Godfather Part 2 the best.
I like it better, but I like them equally. They're almost mm-hmm. the same movie,
which he did with the novel cut.
Well, you know, like
there is an extended cut. Yeah,
the thing that's 1 and 2 and three edited together.
The second film that's the flashbacks. Yeah. Are all in the book.
Yeah,
but The Godfather itself has a just stunning performance by Marlon Brando.
Okay.
In my opinion, a absolutely stellar performance by Al Pacino.
Yes.
Who did not get even nominated
for
the film.
Nope, he didn't. He should have.
Yeah, he should have.
Very much should have. No.
Didn't even get a nomination.
Seems like something. He's so famous for having been in that role.
Well, he was nominated for the second one, and there was this thing going on for the longest time until, God, was it 92 when he finally won for Son of a Woman? Mm-hmm. That he was like the Susan Lucci of the Oscars,
okay,
so to speak.
Well, Son of a Woman's a good one to win.
So. No, it was, and he should have won for Part 2.
Well,
one of the best crime dramas, in my opinion, in the history of film, and it is most definitely a film and not a movie.
Oh, yeah.
Is obviously. The Godfather.
It's not one that, you know, I break out that often. It's actually one...
I agree. It's not one I
want to believe.
It's one I want to sit down and enjoy.
Yeah.
And it's like it's like people who smoke cigars, they want to sit down and enjoy that cigar. Yeah. I want to sit down and enjoy The Godfather.
Yeah, I mean, Marlon Brando, amazing actor. Fucking asshole.
Oh, yeah.
Really...
Total dick.
Total dick. Totally full of himself. Very unappreciative of all the praise that he got. Knowing that I cannot, knowing like just how terrible of a person he pretty much was, I cannot get past this like amazing acting in that movie. Like when I think of Marlon Brando, when I think of amazing acting, I will never in a million years forget the scene when Robert Duvall has to tell him that Sonny was killed. And he walks out, and he's like, well, I hear, I hear my wife downstairs crying and a bunch of my friends' cars here. Do you want to tell me why I'm here? My consigliori. He's like, well, I needed a drink first. Like, now you had your drink. What, you know, what's happened to me? What's happened? He's like, it's Sonny. They killed him. And he just takes this moment, and he just cries, just like this terrible, this heart, mm-hmm. heart-wrenching, you know, and then he's back up. And no tears in his eyes. He's like, do nothing. Make no action, and I just felt so sorry for the character of Vito Corleone because he was just his heart was torn out. Because of the business of it, he was not able to act on the murder of his son.
That film is just full of great moments like that.
Oh and yeah,
that's why it's on my list. That's why it's number four.
Great movie,
and deserves
great
to
movie.
Be there.
If I was gonna put one on there, I'd put number two because I loved the story of young Vito mm-hmm. with Robert De Niro. Just phenomenal, great story. No, I couldn't agree more, Ethan. Well done. Is it my turn?
It is your turn.
All right. So, in the vein of The Godfather. No, I have, you know, I absolutely have my opinions of films like Godfather, Godfather Part Two, Pulp Fiction, and so on and so forth. And you know, I love these amazing character driven movies. You know, like shit like, you know, Boys Don't Cry, and you know, like these amazing performances, these riveting stories about people. But when it comes down to it, I'm just a kid at heart. And, you know, I had to put some kind of cartoon movie in
Bible, the American Tale.
No, I loved, oh my God, I about cried at the Somewhere Out There part. And then, you know, honestly,
I did cry.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I probably did.
The story of my heritage, actually.
Yeah, that's what you've told me before.
I haven't been able to say it on camera.
And, well, I would say it if it were true. I didn't cry, but I damn near did. But, you know, when it comes down to it, until recently, nobody's held a candle to Disney. And the only person that's holding a candle to Disney these days is Pixar,
which is now owned by Disney. Right.
So I started looking at all the Disney movies out there. And, you know, I'm starting thinking, you know, Snow White and Sleeping Beauty and, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And these are all the timeless ones and, like, the heart-wrenching and the heart-moving. But, you know, there's always been a time in my life when I've known that Maleficent turns into the dragon. I've known the sleepy, happy, crappy Doc, whatever, those elves. And then I have to actually look, whatever their names are.
Sleazy,
slutty, you know, whoever. Those fucking, the midgets.
Right.
Snow White and the 88 midgets, or whatever that movie's called.
So you're writing a Disney porn?
Apparently. I actually wanted to look for a Disney movie that actually did shape me, that, you know, that I was surprised when I saw it. And that is, without a doubt, The Lion King.
Oh, wow.
I love The Lion King.
An amazing score by Elton John.
Tim White and Elton John.
So Elton John didn't score the score, it was
scored by Tim White and, I just said it, Alan Menken.
Okay.
And, Elton John wrote some songs for it.
Right, that's what I was referring to. Was
and it was
songs.
Directed by Roger Elvers and Rob Minkoff, and it was 92% fresh rating, 1994.
Ooh,
I mean, when you get past, you know, like a little off topic, I love Pixar movies, but I don't like Cars because I can't get past the fact that the characters are cars. That's just weird for me. That didn't happen to me in The Lion King. You know, that these are frickin' cats running around. I mean, these were wholehearted characters, and, you know, like, I'm crazy monkey characters, huh. And Rafiki, and, you know, there are people out there. It is the Disney movie that parents do not want to show to their children for the scene when Mufasa dies. That is heart-wrenching. He gets killed. He gets knocked off the side of the cliff by his brother, and the little lion cub is crying at his dead father's body. I mean,
you lost his whole life. When
I did my top six villains, I really thought about putting Scar in there.
Oh, that would have been a good choice.
Because, you know, you have your Maleficents and your, you know, da-da-da-da-das, and they're the over-the-top crazy villain, but Scar is just so much different. He was not the king of the lions because Mufasa was the bigger and the stronger and the so on and the more noble, but, you know, Scar was smart and devious and just a son of a bitch and just all the characters. I love that movie. I still, to this day, own the soundtrack. It's my favorite sentimental Disney movie. I love it. I love the music. I sang it in South Singers when I was in middle school, and I just, it's an amazing film. I love that movie.
Did we do that together with South Singers and Excalibur? Didn't we do the Lion King bit?
Probably.
We went to Laureate or something
like
that? Yeah.
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 Yeah. Oh, yeah, wow.
I didn't even realize we were singing together.
Yep,
wow,
yep,
that's cool.
Love that movie. I mean, it's always going to have a special place in my heart. Always will. It's just, I love it. Shay. Or do you guys want to talk about it?
It's a great movie. It's an outstanding movie.
God.
And the moral,
I haven't watched it in
I have goosebumps.
Yeah.
I have goosebumps talking about that movie.
No, that story of the Lost Prince. And
it's pretty much the story of Hamlet when it comes down to it.
Except for the fact that in this version, he doesn't send her to the nunnery, and she instead comes and pulls him out of his moroseness, and he actually does come back.
I said
and,
basically.
Yeah.
It isn't.
It's a Disney
it's
version.
It's not Hamlet with lions.
Yeah, it's Disneyfied Hamlet. And then there's, okay, well, speaking of Disney, Interesting enough, it was a Disney movie, and this is what I was saying earlier. You're gonna want to hit me before putting this on my list. But Pirates of the Caribbean 1.
I love the first Pirates of the Caribbean right. movie.
Well, I was specifically referring to the fact that I couldn't remember who Johnny Depp was. But
brain fart.
Yeah, no, I was more concerned with Keira Knightley, actually. But the
I like Keira Knightley.
Yeah, no, I thought she was did a well, really well done.
She's
job
like Natalie Portman, but good. Ooh, burn. No, I love Natalie Portman. I'm sorry, please do continue.
Get out of line.
Yeah, 78% fresh rating on.
Is that all?
Yeah, I'm not
really.
I'm not surprised just because of what has happened in the sequels.
The sequels took away from the original.
Exactly, the sequels are just making the original less of it. But as an independent, as an individual single movie, is a powerful tale, an outstanding tale. Really, and it comes together. As I was saying, it's like just from one second to the next, it just hits, and just runs constantly. Ted Elliott and Terry Rossio actually wrote it together, and apparently they were a writing team because they also wrote Shrek together.
Okay.
And it was done by Disney and Buena Vista, and it was that movie. It's just like the rest of the movies on my list. There's not a wasted second. There's no moment in that movie that I didn't feel was absolutely necessary. I could watch the deleted scenes and go, good choice. And whereas sometimes I watch deleted scenes and go, why'd you take that out? That was kind of cool. That worked out pretty well. And then, whereas Pirates of the Caribbean, it's just, everything was just hit, came together perfectly. Good story in the end about two people loving each other. And, of course, you have the Jack Sparrow character, who is just a comedic element that is just hard to beat.
Jack Sparrow, amazing cinematic character.
And if you want to see Jack Sparrow live, go to the SCA. There's like six Jack Sparrows at every SCA.
I mean, he was so awesome that he's now getting overdone. When I watched the first Pirates of the Caribbean, like everyone else, I was just blown away that this was such a good fucking movie.
Yeah.
And one of the things...
I watched it easily 1,000 times.
And then they did
1,000 times.
My neighbor would actually come over to my house, and first thing in the morning, we get some coffee and watch Pirates of the Caribbean back-to-back because we didn't have cable.
Uh-huh.
So we'd watch Pirates of the Caribbean back-to-back, and then he'd give me a ride around town. And so I literally watched this movie every day, like twice in a row.
I have something to say.
I never got tired of it.
When I watched Pirates of the Caribbean, I loved it. You know, Jack Sparrow, hilarious, very deserving of the Oscar nomination. When I watched those movies, I was intrigued by the character of Norrington.
Norrington is an interesting character.
And then they made the sequels, like Ethan just said. And they had that whole thing with that stupid-ass lord guy of the India Trading Company
or
whatever.
The representative of the India Trading Company.
To me, it made more sense where they would just had Norrington be that character.
Guy. Why not?
Instead of doing this whole stupid thing where he gets him off the boat and gets killed by Bootstrap Bill in the third one.
What?
Great character in the first one, and just wasted after that. Although he was fun in the second one. Do not get me wrong, he was fun, but then they ended up just ruining him.
They needed him. They wanted him to be part of the team because people kind of liked him.
He should have been the main villain.
They should have just kept him be the villain. Somehow he manages to hate, and he had every reason to hate the main character.
He would have had every reason to hate Elizabeth and William.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I think he would have been the better villain for the rest of the story instead of that stupid lord dude that was just shoved in there at the end.
Right. But
no, I really liked the first Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
I am not including 2, 3, 7, 8, 12, whatever the cartoon series that's going to come.
There's two more movies being made.
None of that stuff is coming into my mind right now. When I put Pirates of the Caribbean, I'm putting it as Pirates of the Caribbean, Curse of the Black Pearl, a movie. Is it a film? See, we were mentioning the film and movie thing here is because I don't know the difference between a film
it's
and
a
movie.
Film. It's a movie.
It's a movie. And we're with
filmish.
We're trying to, by example, teach me the difference between a film and a movie, and so that is a movie.
Yeah,
it has some film
Transformers
moments,
is a movie. The English Patient is a film. That's the way we describe it.
So far, what you've been able to describe to me is boring is a film and fun is a movie.
Kinda, sorta, but not really. I mean, there's more to it. Maybe
you've hit on a nail there, Mr. Inky.
Yeah. What do you say, Ethan?
What are we at, number three?
Yeah. So, what do you think about Pirates? You like
Pirates?
It?
I love the first one. The second and third one were kind of iffy. They suffer from the Matrix problem, where it's like, really good idea for the first movie. Oh, hey, that made a lot of money. Let's make two more.
Yeah.
Trilogies are in.
Yeah. Yeah. Really second one made a shitload of money.
Trilogy,
the first movie was the return of the fun movie.
Yep.
It was a movie that you could go to and just have a blast watching.
Yep.
And that's what Pirates was.
Yeah,
And I love
Johnny Depp was so much fun to watch in that movie. Mm-hmm. So much fun.
I really liked the scene of Johnny Depp dead in the third movie.
Yeah, that stuff was funny.
Really sort of absurd,
you know,
or surrealist
than the
thing
one.
In the third one.
Second one was a long piece of shit. I liked the scene. I loved the fight between Barbossa and Jack Sparrow when he was when he grabbed that piece of gold because he knew he was going to be fighting a guy that couldn't be killed. I mean, that was cool. I thought about that for the sword fights, but once again, it wasn't that well done.
Yeah.
Ethan, what's your number?
It was a little.
Are you number three?
Did I do number three already? Sure did.
All right. Well, my number three, the American Western is one of the. Benchmarks of cinema. I mean, it was, you know, the first movie made was a Western.
Really?
Yep.
Yes. And so this is a movie that on my first viewing, I hated it with passion.
Interesting.
And then I got older, and I watched it again. And it's like, wow, that movie is absolutely stunning in brilliance. It is, of course, Unforgiven.
Love that movie. God, I love that movie.
Directed and starring Clint
fucking
Eastwood.
It will happen.
Yet, but trust us. And written by David Webb. It stars, of course, Clint Eastwood, Gene Hackman, Morgan Freeman.
Ah! No. I was going to say Morgan fucking Freeman.
Morgan Freeman. So Richard Harris and a ton of others. It was... won 4 Academy Awards, 1 for Best Supporting Actor for
Gene Hackman.
In
he's retired now. Do you know that?
Stellar performance.
Yeah.
I heard that. 1 for Best Editing, 1 for Best Director for, of course,
Clint Eastwood,
and 1 for Best Picture. It was then nominated for 5 others. This movie, in and of itself, is you sit there and you could analyze it for...
Ever. You can watch that movie 1,000 times and always pick up something else.
It is a Greek myth... done in a Western.
Oh, wow.
Is you have the Furies.
Have you not seen Unforgiven?
No.
It's an amazing film.
It really is so good.
You guys haven't seen Star Chaser.
please do continue.
But it is some stellar performances. It was the rebirth of the Western in sort of taking a new look at the Western. And you have brilliant acting and brilliant storytelling with... A story that's kind of contrived.
Yep.
Really, you know, it's, you know, these old gunslingers come back and they, you know, go to collect a bounty on these people who cut up some whores. But words sort of fail me.
Jack the Ripper, bad guys, basically.
Well, more or less, in a lot of ways.
The bad guys in it are kind of... Sympathetic.
There's one guy who's kind of a dick. Two of them were fucking dicks. One of them was sympathetic.
Right.
But the thing, I saw that movie same as everyone else when it came out.
The title of the movie is aptly Unforgiven.
Yep.
Because everyone in the movie is unforgiven.
Yeah.
It is entirely a movie about morality and entirely a movie about choices and how you live your life.
Not okay to cut people up.
And... nobody is a good person in the movie.
Except for Gene Hackman. I will still argue that he was a good person. I will argue that the villain of the fucking movie was a good... He had bad shit about him. Because of him...
great film, though.
Oh God.
I highly recommend you
I could not... I want to watch it right now. Fuck the rest of the show. Let's turn it on. No. No, I love that movie.
I desperately want to get on Blu-ray.
Is it out yet on Blu-ray?
It is on Blu-ray.
I love that frickin' movie. I agree with you. I watched it. I won't say I hated it the first time I saw it, but I didn't really think much of it.
Yeah.
Got older, learned a little bit more about the world, learned a little bit more about film. This is totally a film, but it's as enjoyable as a movie. It's enjoyable as a movie.
And I think I said, it's a 96% fresh rating on
Tomatoes. Is that all?
Yeah.
90 what?
96.
Okay, yeah, no, it's, you know, not as critically acclaimed as some of the movies.
Oh, it's incredibly...
Wait, the highest rating on the list so far, if I remember.
The Godfather.
Godfather.
Oh, okay.
I don't have any 100% on mine.
I have 2.
I don't have any. So, yeah, no, could not agree with you more. See, I've liked every one of these movies, at least that I've seen.
Yeah.
And there's none of these.
You're gonna like Star Trek.
Me too.
Excellent.
It sounded interesting.
To find that one,
me too.
Let's see if Netflix.
It's the thing was when I came back to it.
Hell, it sounds like an Insta stream almost.
Yeah.
You know, but. Shay's number, what was the Mexican? That was your number three or what?
Five. Yeah.
And you said that you had to go ahead and you had to shoehorn in some kind of romance story. And I had to put myself a romance movie in here, but it's fallen higher on my list.
Okay. Because
I love this movie. It is a story about a girl, a boy, and his plant. Of course, I'm talking about 1986, Little Shop of Horrors.
Ooh.
91% fresh rating.
I hated that movie.
Tune in next week when I'm the only one here. I love the Little Shop of Horrors.
I watched it several times when I was a really little
kid. I think I've seen that movie 5 times in the last month. I love that movie.
Not one of my favorites.
Oh, it is easily one of my favorites. It's my second most favorite movie ever. I watched it.
What's the name of that girl?
The actress or the actress or the character? Ellen Green.
She's like Marilyn Monroe.
Ellen Green. It's about the only thing she's done. But she's done other things.
I mean, and I think that was intentional that she was supposed to be like a girl who kind of wanted to be Marilyn Monroe and had she spoke with that softness and all that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, first off, it's a great film. I mean, Ethan can be a snob all he wants. Most people would agree that it's a great film. But it's just a sentimental thing for me. I saw that movie in the theater and loved the music. I had the soundtrack. I tried really hard to be in the high school production of it, but it turned out I ended up going to the other high school that we were in. I just love that movie. I mean, I watch it. I still laugh at all the key points. The characters are timeless to me. I mean, come on. Orange Chevello, DDS, Steve Martin was hilarious. I love Rick Moranis and anything that he does. John Candy was hilarious in it as the frickin' the disc jockey. One of the last movies Vincent Gardenia ever did. I mean, directed by Yoda himself, Frank Oz. I am in love with this movie, and you know, people not liking it cannot take away from my enjoyment of this movie. It's just so important. It's so part of why I love movies.
You know, it would be a movie I would put on a top six good movies that made me feel uncomfortable while watching.
Then you haven't even seen the original cut when the plant wins.
Ooh.
That's insane.
I'm not talking about just the story or anything. I'm talking about just the whole movie had this sort of like
I love it
eerie, creaky kind of.
It's just like, it's so unique.
Something was unsettling throughout the entire thing.
Oh, I agree.
Good for a horror movie, which is really what it was.
It was a horror movie and a musical and a comedy and a romance. And oh my god, it was amazing. I love that movie. And you know, you guys can poo-poo all you want. I love it. You can't take it away from me. What's your number two, Shay?
Number two is Labyrinth by
Labyrinth.
Henson Association Lucasfilm. Made in 1986. It's got a 59% fresh rating. It was written by a whole team of people, apparently. The original script was Terry Jones, and Jim Henson, George Lucas, Dennis Lee, and Elena May all rewrote the script to get to what we saw on the screen. I like it because it's just, it flows well. It comes together well. I guess flow, maybe, do you think maybe flows well would be a better, what I'm trying to say as far as...
I don't know what you're trying to say.
Okay. Well, it's also a musical. Interestingly enough, one of the greatest lines in movie history, you have no power over me. I've always remembered that. And
David
Dance,
Bowie
Magic Dance.
A very, very, very young Jennifer Connelly.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. The
Academy
enough,
Award winner.
The costume director, I know this from watching DVD extras, the costume director was Beverly, not Beverly Crusher, was the doctor from Star Trek Next Generation.
Wasn't that Beverly Crusher?
Gates McFadden is the actress.
She
was the costuming director for that movie. I just thought that the whole movie was well done, and for being a movie that was basically one person walking around talking to herself, it was just really well done and moved very quickly and through all the different scenes. And as soon as you thought things were comfortable, the rug was pulled out from under you, and it just didn't stop until she got through the swamps and all the way to the castle, and she's dancing in the Escher castle with David Bowie, and then at the end everything just sort of snowflakes back to reality. And again, like I said, I don't think there was a wasted moment in the whole movie.
See, that's one that I have seen recently, and while I don't think it's a bad movie, it's just, I don't have any desire to see it again.
Really?
I mean,
it's a good fairy tale.
Yeah.
I could sit down and
watch it
right
now. It's really 80s. really freaking 80s.
I haven't watched it in a long time. The movie Stardust really reminded me of it.
Yeah.
Stardust, is that where the star falls from the sky? Yes. And that is a good, that's a good movie, too.
It's it reminds me of it. Just a sort of a lighthearted, it's a fairy tale.
Yeah. It's like, you know that
we need more movies like that.
You know everything's going to work out okay.
I agree with you.
You really
there.
Start to question. You know, they did a good job of making you question, like, you know, how can this work out? How far can these people go? And then, oh, that far.
Yeah, I mean, oh, apparently it's, that it's an far. Old story told in an interesting way, and it's a fairy tale. You know?
It sure
and
is.
It, you know, Princess Bride, that, you know.
Princess Bride, another good one.
It's all.
Very good movie.
It's all, you know, a fairy tale.
I almost put Princess Bride in there for Labyrinth, actually, but I thought Princess Bride was a little more funny than I want. In a movie, so to a certain extent, I do enjoy a good laugh here and there, but I like more of the, I guess suffering. I guess is really the term there, just that sort of anguish of being in a real bad spot. I think
you like
that,
to suffer.
Well, I feel it gives that, like, when they're like in Princess Bride, you're like, you're constantly laughing at the thing, so you at the end of it where everything
great
works out,
story.
You're like, well, yeah, it worked out. And whereas through a Labyrinth, you're sitting there going like, is she gonna get there? Oh God! Is this going to be Brothers Grimm? And you know, is she really going to make it? And you start to fear for her. And I think they did a really good job of doing that.
Okay, you know, it's not my cup of tea, but I'm not going to knock over your cup.
I'm a big fairy tale, fantasy, save the princess, kill dragon.
Sure. So what do you say your number two is, Ethan?
My number two is, in my opinion, the best film to come out in the last 15 years.
Pulp Fiction.
It was robbed of an Oscar.
Oh.
And is arguably, I say fuck you guys, it's the best crime film, best crime thriller ever put to celluloid, ever put to paper, and it is L.A. Confidential.
Yeah, amazing film. Amazing film.
Yeah.
Amazing
film. Speaking of Russell Crowe.
Yes.
That was one of his good performances.
Uh-huh. It currently has a 99% freshness rating.
Amazing
on
film.
Tomatoes.
I'll never forget Rollo Tomasi. Yeah.
Directed by Curtis Hanson. It was based on a novel by James Ellroy with a screenplay by Brian Helgeland.
But it lost to Titanic.
And it lost to crap fucking
Titanic. Yeah. Yeah. Well, at least
fuck
Avatar,
you, Titanic.
At least
you're
Avatar didn't
boat,
win.
You
yeah.
No.
God,
LA Confidential.
Damn, that's an amazing movie.
Yeah, and that really is the best way to describe it. It
amazing.
Is just an amazing film.
I mean, the heroes just sort of fall downstairs, basically.
So that was
97.
It was made in
97. 1997.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
it won two Academy Awards, one for Best Supporting
Actress
for
screenplay.
Kim Basinger, and for Best Adapted Screenplay, and was nominated for 7 others.
Yeah, and it got robbed by fucking Titanic.
Yeah,
I agree.
I mean, I appreciate Titanic as being a good movie. Or
I don't.
Is it a film?
It was a good effects extravaganza.
Film.
Okay.
Titanic's a film, but it's
and
not good.
It's, I think it's good. I don't
well,
think
okay,
it's,
fine. It's a good film.
It's
a crap. But
I don't think it's better
it's
than
not
LA,
LA
Confidential.
No. LA Confidential is just.
And LA Confidential is a film, too, right?
Well acted characters, well written characters, and just a solid script.
Yeah. And you know, it was made in 1997, and it's probably the best noir movie ever made. I mean, it's better than Maltese Falcon and da 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 da. That's what's so unique about it.
The filmmaking in it is just monumental. It is a movie I can sit down and just watch and just be mesmerized by it.
And the characters are so real and they're not heroic like the characters and like the main character with Jack or whatever his name is in Titanic is just like almost unrealistic.
Yeah, I would agree wholeheartedly there.
Whereas the characters in LA Confidential are real people with real problems and real goals in life.
And you have an ensemble cast, you know, in three main characters that you know, three top-notch actors, two of which are Academy Award winners.
Who?
Guy Pearce, who is the only non-Academy Award winner.
He's the only one that probably hasn't deserved it.
Kevin Spacey
is the two-time Academy Award winner.
Russell Crowe, one-time winner.
And
James Cromwell, Academy Award nominee. I love James Cromwell.
Who is an amazing actor.
He was with Spacey's dad in Spider-Man 3.
Ooh, yeah, I don't remember. I thought Kim Basinger did a real good job.
She got an Oscar
and
for it.
That's just the thing is Kim Basinger, I thought, was the weakest thing.
And she got a fucking...
Her,
I agree.
Her character was weak. It was the thing.
The performance wasn't even that good.
I think
she portrayed the character that she was portraying very well.
When I say it's a breathtaking film, it is.
She has.
Is that on Blu-ray yet?
It is on Blu-ray, yes.
Her character was very...
And I don't have it yet because the special edition isn't out on Blu-ray yet. I have a special edition on DVD because I found it at Walmart for $7.
Wow.
It was like, oh, I have a DVD in my hand. I guess I'm buying it.
Yeah, that's a look. It's not on my top list because I just like different kinds of movies. Sorry, man. But oh man,
L.A. Confidential. When I sat down to write this list, it was the second movie I wrote down. I was like, I love L.A. Confidential. It's on the list.
Yeah,
I don't care where it is. But it's on the list. So.
Yeah, no, I like
that. L.A. Confidential. I bet you I've seen that movie twice, and that's an intentional thing. Because I love that movie so much, I don't want to spoil it by multiple viewings. You know, because, you know...
And
if it stops being good after seven, you're like,
oh... Watching it multiple times doesn't spoil it for me. It just
I don't know if it would.
It's such an enjoyable experience for me to watch the movie. It's just... I feel good watching
it. I mean, hell, the scene... I mean, spoilers...
I don't feel good watching
the movie. I'm sorry about this.
No, I watch it and I'm just like, this is such an amazing movie. Yeah. You know? That's the way I feel about it.
In the scene when Kevin Spacey died...
Hit the fucking floor.
My jaw hit the fucking floor. But the performance, like dying is a tricky thing to get on film. It never looks right. I swear to God, they killed Kevin Spacey for that. I mean, it was just
Kevin Spacey can die on film.
He died really. I mean, it was just my jaw hit the floor, like Ethan said. But it was just a really good death performance. Yeah.
Amazing film.
Oh,
amazing.
Yeah. Could not agree. Could not agree more.
Now I feel bad about not putting the Usual Suspects on
another
this
amazing
list.
Film.
Yeah.
Not I don't know about amazing, but good. Good.
Unfortunately, Usual Suspects got ruined for me because I watched the last 10 minutes before I watched the rest of it.
No, I
walked in and everybody in the room had no reason to believe I hadn't seen it.
I saw it chronologically in the theater and I was blown away like everyone else. And, you know, yay me. That makes me happy. I've had some movies.
And now we are to Piece de Resistance.
The Piece de Resistance.
The number one from all.
This is an ongoing theme with me, obviously. I mean, I'm sure these two guys are saying, when the fuck is he going to say Star Wars?
Yeah.
And that comes up on my number one. But here comes the tricky thing.
I kind of guessed that.
Which one?
Yeah, which one? There's six of them. I mean, come on. And, you know, they
Emperor Strikes Back.
And...
You haven't done a cop-out today, so you could say all six.
I'm not going to say all six.
I would kick you in the
My vision of re-editing them all into a single six-hour movie.
There are Star Wars... Like Ethan hates Episode 2. I don't hate it, but it is my...
I seem to have stabbed myself in the eye.
You said what?
The
episode what?
Yeah. I don't hate it, but it's definitely the weakest. Oh. But there's amazing points in it.
My least favorite Natalie Portman episode.
All six of the movies have the amazing things about them. And, yeah, Shay, thank you very much for letting the cat out of the bag. I'm choosing The Empire Strikes Back, 1980, 97% fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
I guessed that.
It's the best one.
It's the best one, and it's the one that everybody chooses for their favorites.
But it's the best one.
But but to me, it doesn't come down to that. When the thing that I love...
Now, when I was 10, Jedi was the best one.
Well, because you were 10.
I got older.
Then you grew up.
You're able to appreciate what happened in the movie. Yeah.
I will say that I think that the first two, the A New Hope and The Empire Strikes Back, are probably neck and neck as far as good films. I mean, they're probably equally good films. And the thing that I love, and you know what? You guys have heard me on this show, and you will hear me continue to defend the prequels with my dying breath. I did enjoy the prequels. But
That's you. There you go.
But the thing about...
Little Shop of Horrors and the prequels.
I'm not going to defend Little Shop of Horrors. That's like a... I love it. But as far as the prequels, I'm not talking about them right now. The thing that's so amazing about Star Wars is just like the episodic serial nature of them. It's so neat when frickin', when Episode 4 opens up and there's already that fight underway when they're looking for the stolen plans. You're like, what the fuck is going on with that story?
Oh, especially taking the context when that film came out.
Yeah.
And that's just like, that's the first thing you see in the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Other than the scrolling text.
Yeah.
You just go...
The scrolling text, amazing idea by George Lucas, cost him dearly. I don't know how many people know this. He got fined $400,000 for not putting the credits before that. Because of that, he dropped out of the DGA. He wasn't allowed to get the director he wanted for The Empire Strikes Back. Fuck the DGA. But The Empire Strikes Back, it opens in that same with that same whole episodic nature. It was, you know, there's just like the whole like the lines about that bounty hunter we ran into on Ord Mandel made me change my mind, or the fact that they're now on this ice planet and Luke Skywalker looks different, and the, you know, there's just like what isn't said in between.
That wasn't intentional.
And I know that. Mm-hmm. I love the questions that it leaves open. And then, you know, like everybody knows, and there's some of these people at this table, the prequel haters, that...
I don't hate the prequels.
Shut up.
I hate Hayden Christensen.
I'm talking. Yeah, no, the prequel haters out there, they forget what it's like for a time without the prequels. Everybody was just tearing George Lucas's door down to make those fucking movies. And he had to pretty much be talked into it. Everyone's like, oh, you know, give me more, give me more, give me more. And, you know, The Empire Strikes Back came out in 1983. And we don't get Episode 1 for 16 more years. I mean, he held out. And then... But that's kind of the magic of Star Wars. It's not really knowing all the story. Mm-hmm. It's not knowing, you know...
Talking about a timeless...
It's movie. Absolutely timeless. And then, you know, I think maybe the thing that maybe puts Empire Strikes Back over the top for me is Yoda. I lost a lot of things with Yoda with the prequels, and even
I liked Yoda in the prequels.
I liked him fighting.
Yeah, that was cool.
But
I just didn't like how they just made him digital.
I
took away his soul to me.
I thought he had less soul in Episode 1 than he did in 3.
Yeah, 3 was much better. The technology...
2, they were figuring it out, but he had zero soul in Episode 1. Mm-hmm. But he was really good in 3.
But in Empire...
Empire, he was amazing. And George Lucas... You know, everyone hates George Lucas. I like George Lucas. Yeah. He spent a lot of time, a ton of fucking money trying to get Frank Oz an Oscar nomination for Yoda, and he should have got it. He would never want it.
Let me say this about George Lucas, okay? Say what you will about the man. He does whatever the hell he wants.
Well, there's that.
And I respect that.
I don't do that. I don't get to do whatever the hell I want.
No. And he basically said, I'm going to make the movies I want to make.
And he's going to do it when he wants to. And how he wants to.
And I'm going to do it. And I respect him for that.
And, you know, something else that you got...
Some of the stuff he does, not something I dig...
I
loved American Graffiti. I loved American Graffiti, but we're not talking about it. Something else that a lot of people don't give Star Wars enough credit for, because it's fucking Star Wars and it makes billions of dollars and all that, they are independent movies. They are paid for...
independent films.
Well, they're not small, but they are independent movies. The first one was obviously the smallest. But Episode 1 was a gigantic gamble.
Yeah.
He spent so much of his own money, his time, you know, and so forth. And it luckily, it was a financial success, whether it was critical or not. This isn't the discussion for right now. But he could have killed himself with that movie.
I'm sure he couldn't hear the critics bitching about it with all the money he was swimming through.
Yeah, I mean, he made so much money off of there. I respect George Lucas. I do have my bitches about all the movies, Empire Strikes Back included. But I love Empire Strikes Back. I love that movie. I've seen it. Shay said that he probably saw Pirates of the Caribbean 1,000 times, and no offense, Shay, but that's probably an oversight. I bet you haven't.
No,
I guarantee sure you I've seen The Empire Strikes Back 1,000 times. I will 100% guarantee you. I mean, I would stake my life on that.
Okay, I wouldn't stake my life
on that. I would stake my life on
200, 400, yeah.
No, easily at least 1,000 times.
And okay, maybe not 400. Say what you will about
I don't like to stake my life on things.
Say what you will about the prequel trilogy. Star Wars has sort of an effect, at least on me as well.
Apparently
that,
me. It pings me back to when I was a kid.
It does.
But you know what's funny is I didn't really get into Star Wars until I was like 17.
I wasn't into Star Wars.
I seen them. So. I had the speeder bike toy. I had a Jabba the Hutt. I mean, but that's about it.
But
now I have more.
what Star Wars does to me is I have the original trilogy on DVD. Mm-hmm. And there are times when I sit back and I desperately, just for the completest in me, I want the prequel trilogy on that shelf with it.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the second one I really hated.
How long has it been since you've seen it? Since like it came out-ish?
Probably, yeah.
You need to watch that, you know, post-Riss and see what happens.
Maybe we
should do that sometime.
Stab me in the face and, yeah. Anyway.
Movies.
Yeah. That's... The completest in me looks at it and goes...
You liked Episode 1 a lot, didn't you?
I liked Episode 3 the best, and I liked Episode 1 was okay. It was entertaining, it was fun, it felt like the type of movie that came from the first film.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Is it perfect? No.
No, I mean...
Now Jar Jar Binks, yes, but...
I actually liked Episode 1 the best of the prequels.
I liked 3 the best of the prequels, but...
The second one just hit me with Hayden.
The problem I have with the...
That's because you guys are Darth Vader lovers. We've discussed this.
And I do have to get in that mindset that the prequel trilogy is about Anakin and not Darth Vader.
Yeah. It's, hell, the whole entire saga is about the Emperor.
Yeah.
But god damn it, guys. Love that movie. Yeah. I don't...
But Empire is a great film.
I don't know if I've sold you enough on it. If you haven't seen it, shoot yourself in the head, and then try to find some way to come back to life and then watch it, because amazing film. Amazing film. It just puts a smile on my face. I love it.
Talking about fun movies.
Oh, yeah. It's a film, too.
And of course, yeah. As you were saying,
it was nominated for an Oscar.
We all know
just
that
one?
The story is
about... Star Wars was nominated for Best Picture.
Star Wars was nominated for a shitload of Oscars and got a bunch and a special achievement.
Deserved.
Actually, Empire got visual effects. Actually, all of them had nominations except Episode 3 had a nomination for makeup. Did not get visual effects, and it didn't win. So, all
right.
What's your favorite movie ever, Shay?
Fifth Element.
Yeah? I like the Fifth Element. Meat Popsicle.
Luc Besson, apparently he wrote the first draft of the script when he was in fourth grade.
The Star Wars of the 90s.
It is the Star Wars of the 90s, Tyler.
I don't think it could be the Star Wars of the 90s.
It's its own thing.
It didn't spawn...
The Star Wars of the 90s is episode one because it came out in 91. Well, 99,
but,
I mean.
But the thing is it didn't spawn a whole universe, a whole phenomenon. People don't go to conventions dressed up like Leo. Well, they might go to conventions dressed up like Leo. And as
I've seen people at conventions dressed up like Leeloo.
In the straps? Yeah.
I've seen it.
Yeah. I've seen people dressed up like Zorg. Jean-Baptiste, cool, yeah. Emmanuel, Zorg.
You gotta love some Gary Oldman.
I do.
And I really think that comes down to it's almost a musical in that sense of it's really almost a perfect example of what I mean when I say this is the type of movie I like. And not a second was wasted. It moves like a musical score without having to be a musical, and down to let's change tune, every little bit, what do I love about a die-in-the-wool, cold-hearted killer? So he finds a button on a gun, and he's going to push it, everything, and you switch from one thing to the other just at the right time. And
the editing's great. Yeah.
Yeah, and then...
I like the Fifth Element, just fine.
The faux sex scene where Ruby and the whole takeoff scenario.
What was
the afterburners?
That opera chick. What was her name? That was a cool ass scene.
Madame, I want to say Longoria, but that's not
like
right.
That. I don't know.
It's been a while.
It was cool.
Laguna Pilata?
Maybe, but whatever. That was a neat scene.
It is a great movie.
I love that line where the guy walks up and goes, bitter tall.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of got this... One of the things I thought was interesting about the movie is the main character was obviously Bruce Willis, and the bad guy was fucking...
I do love me some Bruce Willis.
Yeah, I love me some Bruce Willis. But the bad guy...
Willis?
No, not yet. Okay. Maybe.
I don't know.
So far, there's only two fuckings, Christopher Lee and Bruce Campbell.
That's true.
But at any rate... Yeah.
What's the suggestion?
The main character was Corbin Dallas, played by Bruce Willis, and the bad guy...
A lot of people don't quite realize that the Corbin Dallas character is not just some guy who drives a cab. He is the perfect counterpoint to Leeloo. He is the best guy in the universe. He is trained in all of the equipment necessary for this mission. He can hotwire a cab mid-flight.
Yeah.
He can, he can...
They say that in the movie.
Yeah, it's a fun movie.
Yeah, I know, but a lot of people I've talked to about it, they're like...
They didn't pay attention to the movie.
Yeah, well, a lot of people don't pay attention to the movies, and it was one of those little subtle little elements that he really is the ultimate dude in the world at the time, paired off with the ultimate woman in existence.
But at any rate, we have Corbin Dallas, played by Bruce Willis, and we have Jean-Baptiste Emmanuel Zorg, played by Gary Oldman, and there's this interesting thing that they never shared a scene in the whole movie.
Yep.
I thought that was... Do they ever even interact?
No.
Nope.
Because I know that they...
Fired by Zorg. He worked
with him. He gets indirectly fired by him. But, it's kind of like the Wrath of Khan, with, Kirk and Khan never... They're never actually
on the set at the same time.
They're never, but they do, but they are face to face, like on the video screen thing.
But during the making of,
No, they never met.
Nope.
They never met. Yep.
Wow, I never. That's
because
actually a point
that
I never noticed.
If you watch the making of Wrath of Khan, it's the same set.
Yeah.
Just redressed.
Yeah.
So they were, and they're different days. So
yep.
They were never interacted.
Yep. No, I like it. It's
I like it. And Dallas.
I can, in the same scene.
I could watch that movie a dozen times, and it's not just because Mila Jovovich is running around in it.
Hey, love me some Mila Jovovich. Well,
I could take her.
But
her,
you don't
honestly.
Like Resident Evil?
You can only go
I don't
so
like
far.
The first one. I love the second
okay,
one. Second one's a lot very entertaining.
I haven't seen any of them.
Awful.
I haven't seen the third one yet, actually.
You stab yourself.
So Ethan,
then see it.
Why don't you go ahead and say...
The pain will distract me from the
pain.
Why
don't you go ahead and say Trapped in the Dark, or whatever it's called, Alone in the Dark, so we can go home.
Alone in
Perfect
the Dark,
dark.
Yes. Yeah. Uwe Boll's masterpiece film.
The Chronicles of Riddick, maybe? Anybody?
I just had an embolism.
I know what this is. At least I think I do. I assume I do.
Total movie snob, what can I say?
It's a great movie.
This movie holds a 100% freshness rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
Does it?
It was made in...
Yeah, that does, huh?
Made in 1954, directed by, the film God, who has ascended to godhood now.
He's in
Akira
Valhalla.
Kurosawa. It is, of course, Seven Samurai.
Yeah.
Great movie.
Starring the...
Toshiro Mifune.
Wonderful Toshiro Mifune.
Who turned down the role of Obi-Wan Kenobi in episode 4.
Yes, he did. Because, speaking of Star Wars, Akira Kurosawa's influence seen throughout the film.
Yep.
Seven Samurai is a classic story that's been retold dozens of times. Magnificent Seven.
I like the Magnificent Seven.
Bug's Life. It's all...
Bug's Life is...
Oh, hell yeah.
Seven Samurai.
Absolutely.
Of course it is.
You have seven samurai that are hired by this town to help protect it. And it's more from a technical aspect than a beautiful story, beautiful, beautiful visuals. It's a black and white
film. Amazing cinematography.
Cinematography. It was nominated for 2 Academy Awards, Best Art Direction and Best Costume Design, but won nothing.
It should, first off, it should have won... First, I probably should have taken Best Picture, but it's a crime in itself that Toshiro Mifune was not nominated for Supporting Actor at the very least.
Yeah,
even though he should have been lead.
And yes, it is a foreign film. You have to read horrible subtitles.
Probably turn them off and turn off the noise and still know what's going on.
Yeah. Watch the movie and be in awe from the actual visuals and the beauty of the movie.
Yep.
I can't think of any scene that you would really lose all that much by not knowing the exact wording of what they were saying.
Works the same thing with Star Wars.
I'm at a loss to describe how beautiful the movie is. It is Akira Kurosawa at his finest, and him at his worst is better than any director still
mostly
alive today.
You're probably right. I always like to,
he couldn't find work.
Yeah.
It was just like, you're done now, you've done it, and...
I don't...
No, people wouldn't work with him.
I don't want to shit on your choice here.
In the 80s, he ended up doing whiskey commercials.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
And could not find anyone to finance his movies outside of... in Japan. He had to go... George Lucas and Francis Ford Coppola gave him money to make movies.
Yep.
They're just amazing films. It's just outright brilliant storytelling.
I don't want to shit on your choice. I love the Seven Samurai.
And I still have the copy of the movie you got me.
Good. I'm glad. Love that movie. But Kurosawa-wise, I gotta prefer The Hidden Fortress. I have since jumped all over The Hidden Fortress.
Inspiration for Star Wars.
Yeah. God, it's such a great movie.
Huh.
A huge epic story told from the point of view of two little idiots. God, it's an amazing movie.
Got that mixed
movie.
Up with another Kira Kurosawa movie.
Yeah, and probably my close second.
Yojimbo.
Yojimbo's a great movie. It's a Western before there were Westerns that we know of as Westerns, but it's an Eastern.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Yojimbo remade as Last Man Standing.
Yojimbo remade as Fistful of Dollars remade as Last Man Standing. But it goes back to
Let me say this. The day I woke up and grabbed the newspaper and I saw that Akira Kurosawa had died, first thing I did is I walked to my phone and called Ethan to see how he was. And I found him in the middle of an Akira Kurosawa marathon.
Yep.
I mean, I cannot think of Akira Kurosawa without Ethan coming to mind. I mean, he loves him. He's an amazing director and... Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he didn't do anything that was bad. Yeah. Nothing.
No,
yeah.
I mean, talk about people who do what they wanted to do, and he had just a beautiful vision.
If, yep. Unfortunately,
I
mean,
say that if
he's George Lucas
of,
gone wrong. Really? George Lucas is Kurosawa gone right.
If you're watching an Akira Kurosawa movie, and there's a gust of wind that goes through,
he knew he planned
there for a reason. He put it there.
Mm-hmm.
And he ironically... didn't want to intimidate the actors with the camera. He actually filmed hit the cameras and filmed long lenses so he could not be up front in the
actor's
face.
Give them some space to act.
Something that I learned recently.
And if you want to see brilliant use of color, watch Ron.
Ron
Kamusha.
Is amazing.
I don't think I've seen Ron.
Was that 85?
I believe so. Some of the only movies he ever did in color.
Those are the ones that Zoetrope. Zoetrope financed those, right?
Yeah. I mean, those are movies he couldn't get financed.
Yeah.
Isn't that the same company that made Toxic Avenger?
Zoetrope?
Yeah.
No, it was Troma.
Troma. Yeah. Oh, Troma.
Zoetrope is Francis Ford Coppola and George Lucas.
Oh.
But,
and I find it amusing that I look on my shelf every day and I see Seven Samurai, and on the same shelf is RoboCop. You know, on the same bookcase, on the same DVD case,
but in
Army
the same
of Darkness.
I
know.
Well, these are great movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I mean,
Seven Samurai for me will always be for me the best film ever.
Yeah, and you know, I only learned this recently, and I'm sure you're well aware of it, but I only learned, you know, as much as Toshiro Mifune and, Kurosawa worked together, they didn't like each other.
They had a huge falling out.
They got over it, and they were going to work together again, and then Toshiro Mifune died.
Right.
And I thought that was sad. The way I understand it is they had a strained relationship at best. Mm-hmm. Then they had a falling out.
Both incredibly big personalities, yep. Very hard to work with.
I love Toshiro Mifune in 1941, playing opposite Christopher fucking Lee. He was funny. What was so neat...
Toshiro Mifune had the permanent scowl going.
Yeah.
He could scare the
Did
paint
you see
off
that
the
movie?
Wall. 1941, it's been a long time.
Basically, in the movie, Japanese is attacking the United States. They're trying to take it by land. It's a comedy made by Steven Spielberg. I'm sure
right.
You know that.
I know of it. Yes.
In the movie, Toshiro Mifune plays a Japanese general, and Christopher Lee plays a German officer. I don't know what it is. And they are on the same submarine together, going to go take over the United States. And when they're talking, Christopher Lee is speaking German, and Toshiro Mifune is talking Japanese. And he would say, you know, la 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 la, and Toshiro Mifune would look down at the subtitles on the screen. And then Christopher, it was just so funny.
That's cool.
It was so funny. A lot of people hate that movie. I thought it was funny.
I like breaking the fourth wall like that.
Yeah, they totally did it. It was funny.
That's my.
Unfortunately, not a surprise for me. I've known this for 10 years, as long as I've known Ethan.
It will probably continue to be my number one movie until I die.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, one day I found out that this was Ethan's most favorite movie ever made, and he didn't own it, and I walked over to the shelf in the video store where we were working, picked it up, bought the goddamn thing, and handed it to him.
And I still have that.
And he better still, because that thing is expensive.
Yeah,
I've looked
and there's a new version. There's a 3-disc version.
So get it. I'm not going to buy it for you. I bought you one.
I need to get it.
Sometime. So, yeah.
But now I need to wait for the Blu-ray.
Yeah, well, get help. That's your favorite movie ever. Get it on everything.
It's true.
Get it on the Xbox.
So, yeah. Cool. Wait. Cool. I love all these. Well, I mean, I don't think there's a movie that I dislike out of all these. But good choices. I'm not surprised about Ethan's. Kind of surprised about Shay's, but it actually kind of strikes me as a Shay choice, so I'm cool with it. And this should not be a surprise to anybody.
No.
But I love Empire Strikes Back. So yeah, that has been our top 6 favorite films of all time. Do stay tuned when we're going to come back for Confessions of a Podcast Snob, because we are going to be...
This should be quick.
I hope so. We're going to be reviewing Red Phone Zone, Issue 0. Stay tuned. And we are back with the Red Phone Zone, where we don't know what we're talking about. Confessions of a Movie Snob, Red Phone Zone, Issue 0, which I would like to add to the a little...
It was audio only.
It was audio only.
Thankfully.
And it's, yeah, thankfully. And it was some of the Shay and I did, you know, all the way throughout the whole entire episode. We're saying, you know, this is not a real episode. Mm-hmm. We're just testing our equipment. And... I like to give it a subtitle of Red Phone Zone, issue number 0, Don't Drink and Podcast. I got so fucking drunk.
Beer review.
Beer review. That was off of the Bagged and Boardcast. I was just throwing them a bone.
I noticed
beer review.
You haven't mentioned that we are the Bagged and Boardcast. Because
we're
like
better
four
now.
Episodes.
I know. They must have, their check must have bounced.
It did. We did a beer review. It was just something that they do on Bagged and Boardcast. We haven't done it since. It's never even been a thought in our mind to do it since. Guys.
Because I don't drink beer.
Well, I mean, you can be all.
And of course, I wasn't part of the episode 0, so it was sorely lacking. In
like,
Ethan.
Like a beer, I might be okay with drinking just because I don't know. For
no,
it
was something.
Do anything,
it was something that we did just for that issue, just
like
because
six.
It sounded like it was very impromptu. Let's sit down and test.
Let's see what the fuck. Well, we were gonna listen to the Bagged and Boardcast, but they weren't on that night. So I fuck. Let's go do this. And then I got drunk as shit. And you know, like I said, we did the beer review because of the Bagged and Boardcast. Never was there even a thought that we would ever do it again. It was just what we were doing. It was like it was a Bagged and Boardcast is cool.
Moving on. I'm like, what list are we on? Which one goes first?
Yeah.
Who's on second?
What I'm gonna say about this?
Top six Batman.
Yeah. Do not get me wrong. It was horrible. It's painful to listen to because of where we've improved. But what I can say about it is what we set out to do, we did do, and that was start figuring out how these things are gonna work. I mean, there are so many things that are just staples of the Red Phone Zone that got its birth in that issue. Mm-hmm. The whole thing with it being my show. Yeah. I said in issue 0, we talked about frickin' Christopher Lee and Natalie Portman in issue 0.
We did not talk about Natalie Portman.
Yes, we did.
We did?
Yes, we did.
Talk about her in every episode, it kind of meshes together for me.
I was going to say, like, I thought when I was listening to
you brought her up
earlier today, I don't remember.
You brought her up, I don't remember why.
I think you might have brought her up just in passing.
So. You would think that...
Again, I could be entirely thinking
about her.
Because we have been making a big deal about Natalie Portman.
Yeah. We did that. My whole little quip about, it's my show, started on that episode. The whole reason that we do a top six... It's not a top 5, it's not a top 10 or top 20 or whatever, is because of that issue. Because we did the top 6 favorite Batman films, we didn't call it a top 6. We said,
what's our favorite Batman film?
In order. I don't know. Let's figure it out real quick.
And it could have been a 7 because we could have thrown the 60s movie in there, but we didn't.
Yeah, well, But
still would have ranked that higher than Batman.
Yeah, that's the point.
I proved that one.
Yeah,
I know I would.
I fucking hate the goddamn first one. It's just stupid. But anyway,
it's sentimental for me. So,
Your sentimentality means nothing to me, but my sentimentality means something to me. So you know, whatever.
Yeah, that's true.
Obviously we were figuring things out. Obviously we figured out the equipment. We got some things figured out. I would think I was getting paid by the amount of times it said Shay, because I was all like, "So Shay, what do you think about that Shay?
Shay this Shay."
And I have the amazing timeless line of, "I like my head. I just don't want it to get smashed in the face."
Oh, because we were talking about me being a live action role player
in Kanar or whatever the hell it was. Yeah, it was awful.
I think I mentioned Kanar though. That is the local art.
I still honestly say it was lacking in one thing.
There was no Ethan, which is the biggest. Like, we needed way more Ethan.
I don't know. Issue 1 was pretty good. You weren't on there.
I still think issue 2 was phenomenal. Like, I think that, I mean, we're getting a little bit out of the confessions of issue 0, but...
What do you think is our best issue so far?
Speaking as a podcaster who's been podcasting for over 3 years now, 3.5 years, your first episode is always your worst.
Oh, I'm sure.
Of course, we knew that.
You gotta figure things.
And you gotta start somewhere. Mm-hmm. You go in there, and you look back on it, and 3 years from now, and we're still doing this show, and we're, you know, sitting here in our wingback chairs and our smoking jackets. We'll look back at episode 0 and go,
I'm already like that 10 issues in.
Yeah, well,
but you know,
don't listen to this episode.
I'm actually seriously considering deleting it.
No. I think it really. And most people aren't going to go back all the way, and if they do, they deserve that Easter egg. I think one of the things that I was really worried about was talking over somebody else. So I noticed that I was basically like sitting there waiting. You couldn't see me on the film, but I was sort of like sitting there going like.
Then you say, fuck that.
It's funny. Like, let's just yell at each other.
And in no way, shape, or form am I saying I don't talk a lot, because I do, but I'm actually I find myself talking more on the podcast based off of issue 0 because it was like pulling fucking teeth to get him to say anything a lot of the times.
I'd be like,
so what do you think about that, Shay? It's good. Can you elaborate on that, Shay?
Dead air.
We sing the dead air song.
I would love it if...
You know, it's... for a first show, I do say it wasn't bad.
I'll say it was bad.
I was kind of entertained by some of the stuff. Once we sort of got rolling.
Once you guys found your groove, found your rhythm.
Well,
I really enjoyed the interview of me, actually.
Then it mercifully stopped.
Speaking of sentimentality, I did have a certain... I was like, yay, I
talk.
I tell people who I am.
I'd hope that, you know, I'm not trying to be arrogant, but I think we are exponentially better now, and I would like to think in another 10 issues that we are that much better 10 issues on as we are from now. Now I'm getting pretty talented at segueing, and at the time I'm just like, oh, so we need to keep talking.
And
we need to keep talking.
Emails from
I don't know. I mean, fucking grading it. I mean, obviously it's a...
And why was she emailing you?
It's
at
a
the time
D.
Anyway?
Because she was trying to figure out how to get on.
Oh, she was trying to get on to the show.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I got to give it a D, but you know, at the same time, I ought to give it a C because we did what we set out to do.
Yeah,
we did.
We were trying to figure out the equipment. We were trying to figure out how.
Being that I've been there before, I would give you guys a C.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm going to give it a B because I'm because
you love yourself.
Yeah, and you like giving yourself a B. But we're podcasters, but
and I have been trying to like listening to myself actually because most of my stuff. Most of my performance I've done is either stage. Actually, real quick, do you guys mind if I mention? I remembered that character that I wanted to play.
Jesus Christ. Who?
I picked this guy. He's a perfect choice for me because we've actually played in the same role. I played one stage performance, and it was Don John the Bastard for Much Ado About Nothing. So I want Keanu Reeves to play me.
Oh, you gotta be kidding me.
No. I'm not.
All right, whatever. Whoa, I got a podcast.
Exactly.
Well,
and the other thing is I sound really sort of drony, in my opinion, on the...
Like so much more intelligent than him.
Well, that may be so. But I think I've been trying to be more proactive voice because I felt I sounded kind of sort of commentary-ish.
Yeah,
sort
it
of
is.
Thing. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. So, real quick, what would you say your favorite issue that we've done is, that you've partaken in?
Well, interestingly enough, I've listened to all of them today. I finally got them loaded onto my phone.
I actually listened to all of them in a loop in my car when I'm driving so I can look for ways to improve.
I listen to other podcasts. So.
I do too, but I usually listen to those like at home.
Or once.
Yeah, once. Yeah. I listen to ours continuously.
Which is good.
I
mean,
I find myself when I'm listening to it just going, man, did I really say that? I am such a...
Me too.
Idiot.
Me too. Me too.
I didn't say a
stupid
thing.
I am a fucking idiot, so I'm cool with that.
Probably the episode I would say is my personal favorite is the one that I really hated my performance in, and that was the Batman Beyond casting.
That was a good show.
I really thought we had a good rhythm going.
I did too. I did too. My favorite show is the Harry Potter one. I thought that we had a phenomenal rhythm in that. I'm going to add the caveat, probably my least favorite issue would have been issue zero doesn't count. But probably my least favorite one was probably two, because I don't know. But I loved the Watchmen review. The Watchmen review was awesome.
And you see, I like, I thought number two was good.
It was okay. The Fantastic Four recasting was lame, honestly. Same with Spider-Man 4.
Spider-Man 3.
And also,
3,
4 was just so rough because we redid.
Isn't that
the
when
show
we had to do it like three or four
that's
times?
That's the one that we had so many technical issues.
Last week,
which
last
I now
week was pretty
completely
good.
Understand why that was happening and why we couldn't do anything about it.
But on issue 3, when we do our top 6 favorite Batman villains, that was a great segment. The show was long, but that was a great segment.
But this is our double sided.
Yeah, we mean this one to be
this
long.
One was intentionally long. Issue 3 was accidentally, we just couldn't stop talking about stuff.
It was a good discussion. Yes, ma'am.
As a viewer, my favorite ones were the Bonds
and the what? Villains one.
Bond.
Oh,
the Bond
and movie villains.
The Bond one was... I liked the Bond one, don't get me wrong.
James Bond,
I am definitely not Bond.
One.
James Bond.
Definitely not Bond.
But favorite moments of you guys. I've listened to it so much. Ethan has an issue... It was that one that we did a billion fucking times. Issue 3?
4 was the one we did. We
is
over,
when
we
did
over,
the extra
over.
Long one.
Was 3?
3 was the extra
the
long one.
The one we were talking about the casting of Mark Strong Sinestro. Mm-hmm. And we got into the thing of which one of these movies are you looking forward to the most? Whatever. That one, Ethan's got this great part in there when Jeff is saying that he's really looking forward to the Green Lantern because of the power rings and shit. And Ethan just chimes in with this beautiful little thing where he says, "We're talking cosmic level cool." And I want a soundbite of that. It sounded so awesome when Ethan said that. Probably my favorite group moment.
I don't even remember saying it.
It was cool.
Yeah.
My favorite group moment is when we actually organically all, like, said the geekly happenings. And we've since tried to redo that. We can't do it. But yeah. that was cool. Shay had a great moment when he, what was his great moment? I think Shay's smartest moment on the show has been the casting of Michael C. Hall as Kirk Langstrom.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
that was a good choice on my part.
I think my favorite moment on the show is casting of Clint Eastwood as Bruce Wayne, because I actually felt smart at that point, because I'm just all like, duh. But no, I enjoy doing the show. It's issue zero, like I said, you know, I'll give it a C because we got what we needed to out of it. When I listen to the shows on a loop, I don't listen to zero. There's nothing I can take out of that. Yes.
Which was the first one we did here, the Harry Potter show?
The first one we did here was...
The Harry Potter show, right?
Yes.
I think that one has been at least my favorite to do.
That was my most.
I felt really, really.
A, it was my favorite to do, and B, I think I was, you know, me the most out of all of that.
I think we really hit the ground, and we were running at that point.
I think that's our confession.
I do too.
Number zero.
Issue zero. Don't drink and podcast, guys.
We'll be back.
We'll be right back.
A quick outro.
Yep. They're already losing.
This is Ethan with the Gamers Haven Podcast, and I'm here to tell you about CantCon. For those of us who can't con, there's CantCon. CantCon will be held at the Johnson County Community College Regnier Center in Overland Park, Kansas, in the Capitol Federal Conference Room on July 9th through the 11th between 8 a.m. and 10 p.m. There will be RPG events, board game events, card game events, miniatures games, as well as open gaming tables for impromptu sessions. Pre-registration is open currently, and if you pre-register, you'll receive an additional chance to win swag at CantCon. We have over $2,500 worth of prizes to give away over the course of the convention, and we hope to give it all away. In addition, if you pre-register, you can get a 3-day pass for only $25. If you're only interested in coming one day at a time, you can for only $10 a day. There will be registration available at the door, but you'll have less of a chance to win free prizes that way. Join us at Johnson County Community College for CantCon on July 9th through the 11th, from beginning at 8 a.m. daily. Visit www.cantcon.com for more information.
And welcome back to the Red Phone Zone. This has been issue 10, our giant, more than double-sized 10th issue. We went over...
It's about double-sized.
It is about double-sized. We tried to be in we did a casting couch where we cast ourselves in a movie. We started up the... pretty much the fucking list.
Indomitable order.
The facilitators, the indomitable order of the Zone of Ruth Oz. And we inducted Christopher Lee and Bruce Campbell into that. Look for the post for that. We did a character assassination. I'm sorry, that says characterization of Aaron. And then after that, we did our top 6 most favorite films, and we did a Confessions of a Movie Snob over Red Phone Zone issue 0. So, next week, it looks like it's going to definitely be at least just Ethan and I. We might actually look for somebody else to bring in there. Shay will not be able to be here next week.
Just next week.
He's going to be back.
Kicked off as much as he threatens it.
Yeah, I do threaten it. We might be able to get Jeff back in next week. Who knows? But we are going to be doing a normal, probably hour and a half issue, where we are going to be doing a... casting couch of the movie that Mr. Stan Lee himself has said he would like to see become the next Marvel movie, of Doctor Strange. So do stay tuned for that. We are going to be doing a top 6 of our favorite character entrances that ever happened in film. And we're going to be doing a Confessions, where what we're going to be doing is, it's not really a movie, we're just going to be...
Since Aaron has just been inducted into... the awesomeness that is Doctor Who.
Doctor Who. We're going to be reviewing issue season 2. I'm going to finish it up tonight. I just got to do it.
So you'll dive into season 3.
And you'll appropriately have
you'll
what
see the awesomeness
next week?
Hopefully by this time next week, we're going to have our very own Sonic screwdrivers. Because I look at every screwdriver and say, this needs more Sonic.
Exactly.
So, that being said, I am Aaron.
I am Ethan.
I am Shay.
Let your geek flag fly.